As I read the news this week, I was going to defend Streamlabs based on my own experiences in open source software, forks, derivatives, and so on. Then I saw that they filed for the legal right of a name that includes OBS, and we all know how well that worked out for In the Groove, which didn't even include the name DDR, just the entire technical foundation of it. This is another story of foolish decisions. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki to bring you more in this and the rest of the week's gaming news, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are live with y'all once again. Episode number 892 of our show live on this November the 21st of 2021. Happy 19 November, 20 November to those back in the good old DDR days where the roots of our show were made, and happy 21 November, even though I don't think that song actually exists, but it should. Hi, I am Rob Roberts, and I'm joined as always by Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. Hello. Who is muted? Let's try again. Hello.
Crap. Gosh. Okay. Hi.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm okay.
I'm liking the new angle tonight. We get to see a little bit different angle of the lair of Dark Sakura.
I had the hardest time finding a clamp that could sit on my big widescreen monitor.
Uh-huh.
So finally I found a different kind of mount that I could clamp to the show. You and I have the same IKEA desk.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember that. Yeah.
I have a clamp that now will sit up there and have my phone, because I use my iPhone as my webcam because it's far better than any webcam on the market. And so I needed it a little bit more central, and now it is, and people can see every time I dip in, you know, when I move with the camera, every time I try to kill people in Dead by Daylight.
I need to get a mic arm for my office. Like, I really like this one I have here in the old studio where we used to gather pre-COVID. But I like this mic arm. I need something like this that'll hold my Elgato mic, because I just bought a new now I can't even remember the name of it, but it's Elgato's microphone that's basically their response to Blue Yeti. And I heard good things about it. It's nice. I like it. It's what?
I was gonna say the Audio Technica one that I have is actually, mine came with my arm and everything with it, and it's been an absolute delight.
Gotcha. Mike Def says the Wave 3. Thank you. That is the name of it. Thanks, Mike. Hi, and that is our chat room, because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the
Did
Bobby Blackwolf
somebody?
Show. I will. Twitch.tv/... No, I haven't. VOG Network, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show. Yes, of course, I'm going to say hello to Techmaster Loki and his mic arm as well. Hi, Loki.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. A little tired because I've been staying up till 3 in the morning each day.
I hear you've been working hard on that, Mike, because I know I've seen a lot of tweets. You've been really trying to kind of like wrap up your current storyline Minecraft so you can move on to, I know you've got a new kind of thing for Minecraft, right? So
been playing Minecraft, but I've actually been playing just on their server, the nice. Other server, Nerdcraft, just to mess around. And so that's what I've been busy doing. Up until 3 in the morning. But yes, this week, though, I did take off to actually work on that, because I do have to finish up some builds. I already have the last two episodes of the season planned already, so I just have to do the things. And I have one. Thankfully, one of them is going to be a server tour, which is very low effort. It's not low effort, but it's just like I don't have to build anything, I don't have to design anything, so it goes quicker. But I still have to finish polishing up my base a bit so that it's kind of complete, you know. But yeah, it's gonna be fun.
And a lot of people took off this next week for the holidays and all that stuff, so happy Thanksgiving to all the folks out there in OLR land, at least the ones in the States. Canada, you already had yours, and so
and
forth.
Hanukkah's the week after.
Oh, that's right. It's really early this year, relatively, isn't it?
Well, so keep in mind it follows a lunar calendar.
I know, but still, like,
but
you know.
Not everybody knows that, so that's why I'm saying it.
Yeah.
So it's the same reason why Easter you know, changes mm-hmm. every year because it actually follows the same calendar that all the other Jewish holidays follow.
Sure. So, but my body doesn't follow, or my and my work schedule don't follow the lunar calendar. So just, it is a little novel to see Hanukkah in November. That's not usually the way it is. It's not the first time, though. I'm pretty sure I've seen it this early before.
It's been pretty funny because, like, all the last few years, it's actually been, if not the same week as Christmas, then awfully close to it.
Right.
And which made everything easier for planning holiday stuff, but not this year. So, c'est la vie.
Mm-hmm. It is what it is.
That's okay. I'll still have latkes until the end of the year.
Yum, yum, yum. Wishing everyone, no matter where you are in the world, a happy Thanksgiving in the spirit of being thankful for, you know, the good things you have going on this year. Hopefully, you know, it's been a year of a lot of ups and downs for me, but I try to focus on the ups and being thankful. And of course, I'm thankful for Sunday nights. I really am. I'm thankful to hang out here with you guys and talk about what's going on in gaming. I'm thankful for my co-hosts who are just as crazy as I am, quite frankly, when it comes to having the dedication to do this for as long as we've been doing it, heading into our 20th year in a few weeks, if you can believe
it.
I don't know, but this, I'm gonna be honest, like, this has been a hard week to be a gaming fan. There's some hard news this week that's really, really frustrating, and we're gonna get into that in a minute. Let me try to start with something positive. How about we do a feedback sandwich? We'll do positive, then we'll do negative, then we'll do our gaming weeks. Back to positive. So let's start with positive. I want to give a shout out to YYR, OLR listener who's here a lot and emails us a lot. And you might remember on last week's show, he said he was going to do a stream. I only was able to catch a little bit of it via mobile because I'm really focused on my health and my walking and all that. And it just kind of happened to be around the same time. But I caught some of it. And then I caught the big announcement, which I think I retweeted it on the OLR account. But his game, so he's an indie game developer, right? And, you know, he developed the original Pixel Poops from an idea that came from Dark Sakura and us here at OLR, which then Loki evolved into the sequel that he's talked about that's now featured in magazines, as seen in Cool Shit Magazine, Pixel Poops number 2,
yes.
Right?
I have 5 copies coming. I ordered a few copies to come in.
That's great. But of course, YYR, he's developed other games. He's got a lot of cool games that are out there, on Steam and otherwise, you know, I like Falling as a retro throwback, but one of the other big games he launched is Super Multitasking, which I'm telling you guys, it's really good. It's like playing mm-hmm. WarioWare 4 times at once. Well, YYR announced on his stream, he's adding to it a dance game pad mode. And it's not just controlling the existing games, but there's a dance game thrown in. No, no, no. What happens is that there's like a dance game that plays in the middle bar that you have to step on the arrows and do all that shit. Meanwhile, the other 3 lanes are still lighting up with games that you're playing on your controller while you are dancing. It's brilliant.
For fuck's sake.
It's brilliant.
What does he think we're made of?
I don't understand why this game hasn't gone viral. It's so good. So Super Multitasking. And I think
you'd have to have the superpowers of a single mother.
So anyway, check that out on Steam if you haven't already over at Super Multitasking. Yay, YYR. Yay, Aaron. Yay, good news. Love that. Dark Tetsuya says, yeah, I heard he threw down the gauntlet to Chris for life to try it out. Yeah, he was tagged in that tweet, so I thought that was pretty funny. So I hope he does. It's great. Okay, not so great news. Let's get into it. Look, here, I know many of you at OLR, you know what's coming because you're tuned to gaming blogs. You probably listen to other podcasts. You are on social media. So you know why I'm about to give a hearty fuck you to Bobby Kotick. And in fact, it's at a point it needs to go further than that. I'll get into that in a moment. And it's just this Activision story that will not quit. And I think we all clearly see the reason why it will not quit. That reason is becoming very apparent this week. However, I know there's a handful of you that, you know, you're more casual gamers, maybe don't follow all the headlines, but you listen to OLR because you like me, Jamie, and Matt. Thank you for that. Love ya. This is a difficult topic. Content warning, everything. Like, it's awful. This is awful. I hate it. And this is why I'm saying when it comes to being a gamer this week, this story sucks. And the fact that it is not already resolved by his firing, his releasing, sucks more. Anyway, I've got plenty more rants coming. Let's go to the facts. Loki, tell us about some of the things that have developed with the CEO of Activision Blizzard's king, Bobby Kotick, this week.
Yeah, so there was a report done by the Wall Street Journal that kind of talked about some of the allegations that were happening kind of behind the whole California lawsuit. And they said that over the years, that apparently Mr. Kotick has been accused by several women of mistreatment, both inside and outside of the workplace, and in some instances has worked to settle the complaints quickly and quietly, which, you know, sounds like a person with money would do. So makes sense. He also apparently was there was a flight attendant that, or his private flight jet flight attendant, who was suing him for sexual harassment that was committed, I guess, by the pilot of his jet, saying, "I'm going to destroy you." And then, yeah, just lots of different examples of that kind of stuff. So that's
gross.
That's kind of the kicking off point right here, is as if it wasn't bad enough already. Now there's this kind of bombshell report.
Sorry, Loki, I'm going to do this to you a lot. I'm going to jump in because I'm not saying this in a I was right kind of way, but I'm saying this in a
right.
I hate that this is just proven true. I said way back when this first started, I said the culture of a company is set at the top. It's set at the very top. And at the time, I was pointing the finger a little bit at Bobby Kotick. I backed off a little bit with that response that came up, and I shouldn't have. This news that's coming out, this just proves that shit culture was started at the top. Continue, Loki, sorry.
Oh, no, it gets worse. It's not just him. It's not just him. But then let's get into some other details. So we have former Blizzard technology chief Ben Kilgore, who was fired in 2018 after an investigation for multiple allegations of sexual harassment. But he was thanked for his many contributions over the last 4.5 years.
Of course there's
he was. Javier Panameno, who was the former supervisor at Sledgehammer Games. And he was accused of raping one woman and sexually harassing a second one. Apparently, they had reported those instances to the HR and back in 2017, but they apparently did not investigate the allegations or fire the supervisor. Dan Bunting, co-head of Treyarch, which apparently he was accused of sexual harassing a female coworker in 2017 after a night of drinking. In 2019, an internal investigation reported that he recommended that he be fired, but that Bobby Kotick intervened to prevent that firing, and saying, you know, after considering the potential actions in light of that investigation, the company elected not to terminate Mr. Bunting, but instead oppose other disciplinary measures. So we have a lot of, like, all of the higher-ups, just all of these harassment allegations. I mean, there's a ton of smoke.
Because the culture was set at the top.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
And he's been protecting these people. It's like, he's like best buds with Yves Guillemot. I mean, peas in a pod.
What about...
go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So,
Wait, go ahead. Let Jamie speak. Go ahead.
I'm also going to add in, though, that this is what happens when men are raised with a disrespect for women.
Yep.
It starts at home, and then corporate-wide, it starts at the top, like you said.
Yeah.
It's a symptom of a bigger problem. Only we're now really seeing very obvious results of this. This is why feminism exists. Just saying right now, this is why we're not shutting up, and this is why it gets louder and louder. So please continue.
Yeah. So since he was, you know, found to be not only ignoring and downplaying harassment against female employees for a very long time now, so there were, of course, the, you know, Activision Blizzard employees, the Workers Alliance. That's basically said, you know, we're staging a walkout because we want him to resign. And, of course, he's not going to resign. So they even put out a petition to have him quit as well. They have 1,200 signatures of different employees at the company. I mean, clearly people want him to go, but he ain't going, unfortunately.
Where's the part? Can you skip to the part about Jen O'Neill and everything that she's been going through? Because this is the part to me that just underlines, like, this is like he is lying now. This is not even like, and when they come into this whole stuff about we're gonna fix it and these things are in the past, I was, no, bitch, he has you all fooled. He is lying now. After everything came out, he is still treating women like shit.
Her
unequal pay and all this. Go ahead, Logie.
Yeah, so basically, she had been revealed that she had been sexually harassed at the company earlier in her career, and basically saying that I've been tokenized, marginalized, and discriminated against, and you know. Even attended, I guess, was a party in 2007 with Bobby Kotick, in which they had, like, I guess, strippers dancing on stripper poles or something like that, and encouraged female attendees to drink more so the men would have a better time. So, fun stuff.
I would like for him to just be castrated.
He needs to go yesterday. Bobby Kotick needed to be fired by the board yesterday, and Monday, or whenever this news came out, Monday, Tuesday, whenever it happened, he should have been escorted out by the board the next day. I can't believe, and I am enraged. I am enraged as a gamer, as somebody, as a fucking human being that is sick of this shit. I am enraged that this motherfucker is still in power over at Activision Blizzard. Fuck him. And I am fucking pissed that this board is enabling him, allowing him to stay in this position. Did you hear this story that broke 3 hours ago? Can't wait for this. You ready for a new twist? Mm. Bobby Kotick, the Wall Street Journal, because they clearly there are leaks on, there are very big leaks on the inside from people that recognize there is a big problem. Well, the Wall Street Journal mentioned that Kotick met with Blizzard executives on Friday and said, quote, he would consider leaving the company if he can't quickly fix the culture problems at the video game giant. From the Wall Street Journal report, Mr. Kotick, who has led Activision for 3 decades, stopped short of saying he would step down in a Friday meeting with executives of the company Blizzard Entertainment Unit, but left the possibility open if misconduct issues around the company weren't fixed with speed, these people said. It has been 30 years of this culture that Bobby Kotick has set. The time for him, the killer is in the house. The problem is in the house. The issue is Bobby Kotick, who must go now. And that's it. And I am so enraged with this to a point, and I will no longer stand by and enable this company. And I feel horrible saying this because I know people that work at Blizzard. I know people that work at Activision. I know people that were laid off at Blizzard while Bobby Kotick continued to receive a huge bonus. But that's a whole other point. And I know these are good people. These are victims. These are victims of this culture that Bobby Kotick has set. Why doesn't the zero tolerance policy that was set apply to the man at the top? Why is the board not applying that policy consistently? And as far as I'm concerned, I want nothing to do with Activision Blizzard King until this man is removed. And when I say that, I mean, I'm not talking about their products on this show anymore. And I know there's a lot of people that are going to say, big fucking deal. Nobody listens to your podcast anyway. But you know what? It's got to fucking start somewhere. I am not going to stand by and promote this fucking culture until Bobby Kotick is gone. Period. So as far as I'm concerned, as excited as I was for Diablo 4, I regret buying Diablo 2. I will no longer talk about those games on this show. And it sucks. As a fan of gaming and someone who is a gamer. You want to hear about those companies? I'm sorry, but you're going to need to go somewhere else. It's as simple as that. And I'm sorry to my friends that work there. And I hope, believe me, I've heard the other side. You're not helping those people by boycotting these products. I'm sorry. This is where my conscience is at. I cannot tell people to spend money that's going to ultimately end up in Bobby Kotick's pocket. I'm sorry.
And it's not even just that. I mean, because he's actively hurting the company. I mean, basically, both the heads of PlayStation and Xbox have been disturbed by what they've been hearing. And even
Should
Xbox,
you
know, they said, well, you know, basically this type of behavior has no place in the industry. And they said they even reconsidering their relationship with the company. So
I appreciate that. I realize he has to use softer language because it's corporate speak. He can't say the things I'm saying now because he's the head of a very large gaming company. But I respect the hell out of Phil Spencer for taking that stand. I respect the hell out of him for saying, for not falling in line and letting the money do the talking. And for, you know, I'm sure Call of Duty or what the fuck ever Activision's got going on in partnership with Xbox right now. I've got a real respect for Phil Spencer to look in the face of all that and say, you know what? Maybe we need to not. So props to you. And to be fair, Sony has made a similar statement. And I apologize. Yeah. I don't in the moment remember who, but I think that should be commended as well. I don't want to give Microsoft all of the credit. And this is the part that makes me feel a little better, is that some of these other people are now putting the pressure on. And this, unfortunately, is the only thing the board is going to really be able to see.
And it was the CEO, Jim Ryan.
Thank you. So thank you, Jim Ryan. Thank you, Phil Spencer. Thank you for doing what needs to be done. Because
money speaks.
Yeah. Money speaks.
And if they're going to take the money out of the pocket, then that's what I'm down for.
Right.
I'll put it this way. If I were to express exactly how angry I am, I would probably have to do that and then go on a very long break.
And I want to make this very clear, even though I have said we are not going to cover Activision Blizzard King until this man is gone, which I'm hoping will be a 1 week boycott, quite frankly. I'm hoping next week this all reaches, but unfortunately the time for this to happen has already passed. So I don't know if that's the holidays messing this all up or what, but I'm standing by this. We're not talking about that company until that man is gone. But here's the thing, and this is very important. It is not my place. It is not your place to tell other content creators what they can and cannot play. I already told you that some people have a different outlook, that by not talking about the products, you're hurting the frontline workers. I think Bobby Kotick is a man that has already hurt frontline workers, and that's been demonstrated from the layoff that he did prior while he still pocketed a large bonus with that. So that's a huge part of why I reached the conclusion that I did, is that if Bobby Kotick wants a bonus, he'll lay people off, and that's really unfortunate and shitty. But again, it's not up to us to tell other content creators what they can and cannot cover. So I want to make that very clear. If you have friends that are streaming Overwatch and continue to do so or whatever, then you know what? More power to them. For example, some deep friends here of Orange Lounge Radio that used to be a part of the Voice Geeks Network, our pals over at Girls Gone WoW. I fully expect them to continue their show and talk about this community that they love, because some things are bigger than a video game. And I think the community over there is probably the only thing that's been keeping folks in check during all of this other bullshit that's been going on. And I fully support that if they want to continue to, you know, talk about that community and honestly is a support group at this point.
I will say this for myself.
Yeah.
If anybody has switched over like on their stream to playing a game by that company, I leave and stop posting.
Yeah.
I'm not going to help anyone benefit from a company that has done this, if that makes sense. That is my choice.
I get it. And I hope this is over by Tuesday. I hope Bobby Kotick is out the door and we really have something to be thankful for in this industry, that the poison is finally cut out. But until that happens, I'm digging my heels in. I'm getting ready to die on this hill.
Once he's out, it still isn't going to be immediate.
No, it's not, but it's going to go a long way, I think.
It's the first step.
The board needs to be looked at as well for their failure to act. But I get that there are nuances that make things a little more complicated than that, but I'm still not happy.
Oh, no. I think that once he's gone, then the board needs to be evaluated. I mean, if I had my way, there would be a third-party oversight group that would step in and manage the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Because clearly those in power at this company cannot be trusted to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to go on record saying that most... This is something that's been a problem in the corporate world for a very long time. We would still have, you know, longer than, 8-hour work days and 40-hour work weeks, and children would still be working if it wasn't for the fact that we have legislation and third parties who have stepped in to put companies in line, because greed is greed and it never goes away. Just look at the history, and I'm not going to go like on a big lesson here, but look at the history of unionization. Look at the history of labor in the U.S. I mean, just look at why we have freaking Labor Day.
Yep.
This is a problem that has been proven that if you leave something unchecked like that, it is going to continue to run rampant until someone's hurt, or many someone's are hurt, and then someone else has to check in.
And I do hope from all of this, we really start to get that talk of that video game union. And I hope that starts at Activision Blizzard King, because I do hope for my friends that work there. I truly hope the organization can come out stronger at the end of this from employees having a seat at the table. And from what I understand, that's what many of them have been asking for in the first place. But obviously, Bobby Kotick being removed now is the first step in that happening.
I would also like to say for our friends that are in that employment situation, don't be mad at the people who are boycotting. Be mad at the company you work for putting them in that position.
This is a problem we have with your senior management, and I feel horrible for the people on the front lines. I really do.
This is something that they'll have to continue to address with their HR.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say this too, if you are dealing, and this is for any job, by the way, if you are dealing with harassment of any variety at your work, document every last thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not just having, a printout of when, not a printout, but like, I went to HR on this day electronically. No, you print that shit out. You have a physical record of it.
It just scrolled. It just scrolled along the bottom. There's a report about the guy at Activision Blizzard who signed all his emails 1-800-ALL-COCK. Document that. PDF it. It took years for that person to get fired. And that's just another... Just add it to the dumpster fire. Seriously.
But again, it's if you're remotely in a situation like that, document it. It's going to come back, and your document could help other people. And it sorely should have been done with Activision for many more of the employees. I mean, retrospect, hindsight. But I'm saying that I'm glad to see what's coming out is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But there needed to be something done way too long ago. And that's really what has me angrier than anything. Even if I am not expressing things loudly or verbally passionately, my emotions are still there, and I am just simply trying not to lose my shit, because I am also angered.
Someone needs to stay calm while I'm over here yelling. It's fine.
I'll put it this way. I'm not calm on the inside.
Fair. Completely fair. Bobby Kotick's bonus, that CEO bonus, the board bonus, they need to redistribute that to the victims, the employees. That's my other big hope for the employees. take that $153 million and give it to the employees who've been making those games, who've been working their ass off through all this bullshit. It's just
they
it's
should
so frustrating.
Fine him for back amounts.
Also, the other shining light in this, which is so weird to say, mm-hmm. is don't forget this company is still under investigation by the state of California, and Bobby Kotick has been subpoenaed.
I would love to see him locked up. I mean, he's a man,
he'll
and he's
off.
Rich, so
he'll
it's not going to happen.
Yeah, they're going to have an impossible time proving anything criminal.
But I would, well, especially in light of the verdict out of Wisconsin. Yeah.
Yes.
I would love to see some justice in any sort of way at this point.
Well, and that we all know is going to so maybe there's go to higher courts. Come of that.
I just want him out of the gaming industry. I want him out. I don't want him really going into another industry. I want him.
I would like for
to
him
be
to
never
not
heard
exist.
From again.
Yeah.
All right.
How about a nice bottomless pit somewhere?
I think we have to be very careful and say that we're using a lot of hyperbole.
Yes, we are.
But I'm reminded of a Wendy Williams clip when she was talking
yes.
about Ms. and Mr. Spears. I'm
yes.
not going to repeat it because somebody will report it, even though it's hyperbole. But
we know what it
that's
is.
That's where my brain is right now.
How many times have we heard this in a certain mutual friend stream?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When it comes to their careers, that mm-hmm. clip.
Yes. Right. Although, however, if he was on fire, I wouldn't offer any water.
Questbuster.
And
I
say that also is hyperbole.
Questbuster in chat says, as a weird side note, ATVI's stock price has fallen 30% since news of the investigation broke this summer, allowing Good. Roblox to pass them in value a few days ago. Good, because that's where it's going to hurt them the most. And if you're holding Activision Blizzard stock, I would encourage you to sell it. I even made a tweet earlier this week. I was like, we need a movement like what we had with the whole like GameStop and AMC thing, where we need to hit Activision Blizzard there and make sure the stock is being sold off in mass. Somebody had replied to me and said that's not, but I think they kind of misunderstood what I was saying. I'm not saying we need to buy the stock. I'm saying we need to be pushing this narrative within the financial media and within the financial markets and making sure that this is giving coverage on financial media so that people sell their stock and unload it. And that's going to do the talking, unfortunately, at the end of the day. But I will say,
we need to have some sort of financial devaluation enacted. Yes.
But I will say, I was at the gas station getting way too expensive gas in my, thankfully, hybrid car. You know how the gas station plays those little TV things that show you the weather and headlines and stuff? Guess what?
Yeah.
This was the headline they were talking about at the gas station. So, you know what?
I usually just walk off and ignore those things.
Well, I'm sitting there pumping my gas, Star Sire, and I have a lot to look at.
Yeah, but but gas has automatic things on them now.
Yeah, true, true. All right. Yeah. Anyway. Okay.
Cheese wrap.
Loki,
I know.
Anything else to add here? Any other negativity?
Please cleanse the palate or something.
Well, no, we'll get to another story. We'll go to our gaming weeks when we're done here, but I just want to make sure we've talked about everything.
Yeah, it's pretty much it. The only thing I was going to mention also is the organization Girls Who Code was partnered with Activision.
Yes.
And obviously severed their ties because of all the crap that's going on. It's kind of hard to be partnered with a company like that at this
time. You'd think. Understand that call. Much love to Girls Who Code. Much love to them. E3VL pointing out in chat, Call of Duty sales dropped 40% compared to last year. That's another.
Yeah,
that's
because
way
the game sucks, but that's totally different.
All right.
Or I should say that's actually not different. It's what else is doing, basically.
But it shouldn't hurt the cause.
Right.
To have it be such a piece of shit.
And they remember that was Bobby Kotick's call to pull all of the studios to work on that flop. Just food for thought. That was Bobby Kotick's call. So if you financial peeps are mad about that, guess who needs to go? By the way, there's a lot of other hideous shit he's been involved with that you should look at. Anyway, I'm done. I promise. Let's cleanse our palate. Let's talk about our gaming weeks and talk about some happy things. Like, I'm sure Dark Sakura is going to talk about murder in video games. In video games.
For her gaming week. I did murder some people. I played Dead by Daylight because I stream it. I also at least patched my Animal Crossing. So I'm taking steps. And, of course, Fantasian. I did, like, a little bit of a grindy grind. I actually had to start my stream for it a little bit late. And so I just played around and did some quests and some stuff like that. But I'm having thoughts about the state of Dead by Daylight, and it's kind of not quite what I think some of the other streamers are saying, because there's a lot of stuff that they're saying about it kind of ad nauseum.
Mm-hmm.
And I am now at the point where I'm just like, if a game is going to, you know, if people are going to be shit, if MMR is going to be shit, if all of this is just going to be the ultimate in garbage, then fuck it, I'll meme. Let my MMR get low, let me start winning some more games, then have it get shitty again, and then I'll meme some more. At this point, I'm kind of done with the complaining about it. Mm-hmm. I want Karina to come out already.
Mm-hmm.
I want my artist, who has an amazing backstory and an amazing level and is an amazing character design to boot. I'm so excited. Also, Dear Hawkins Laboratory, rest in fucking hell.
That's right. That the map was finally removed this week, as the Stranger Things characters no longer purchasable in the store. They're gone.
And
although you can still play them in game if you had them from before.
There's more to it. Because their perks are now generic,
mm-hmm.
you can no longer adept challenge them, which means I won't see any more fucking adept Steves.
I didn't realize that. Well, that's sad because I never got those achievements,
Well, the achievements don't exist.
Oh.
They are gone, removed for everybody.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So you're off the hook, Rob.
Is that true? I mean, I'm sure that's true on like Steam and the PC places. Is that true on Microsoft?
And that should be true everywhere.
Huh.
Because
I think
who was it? I think it was it Hydro that was doing adept challenges the other day?
Oh, he does a lot.
It was either Hydro or Meru.
Love Hydro. Shout out to Hydro.
Yeah, Hydro is awesome. But it was either Hydro or Meru, because those are the two people that I usually will watch earlier in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And went to go look, and the achievements for them were gone. And indeed, I think if I go and look at my, because I have a Stadia achievement thing on here.
Right.
And I am looking at my adept list for survivors.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see them on the adept list at all. I'm actually going to resort my list in alphabetical order.
Sure. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I wonder if you lose gamer score when they delete achievements. That's why I'm fascinated with this concept. I'm not familiar with games deleting achievements. I would think that maybe the people who earned them probably keep them, even if they don't show. They might be in a hidden category, but they probably just don't show up as achievable for new people. But even then, that's also kind of fascinating to me in a way.
Well, okay, so I looked it over, and yeah, they are completely off of the list. There is no more adept for them at all, even on Stadia's readouts.
Interesting. Okay, that's fascinating to me. Hmm.
I also thought I got adept Trapper. I'm sad that I didn't. Oh, well, I was like, why isn't that on my unlock list? Oh, I must not have gotten it.
All right, anything else for your gaming week?
I guess that when I do my mental breakdown streaming, which will be every day while I'm on medical leave, except for when I do my labs, and I'll talk a little bit about that. I maybe might try to do adept challenges for killers, and my mental breakdown will be televised.
If you need to step away, please step away. You know, do what you need to do. Take care of Jamie first.
I think it's going to be hilarious, because when I'm not on my meds, I'm either super funny or I'm so pathetic that I'm super funny to bullies.
Oh boy. All right. Just kidding. I just don't want to see you.
I'm trying to have a good sense of humor about it.
No, and that's good, but I just don't want to see you broadcast something you will wish you hadn't later on.
I'll know better.
Yeah, good. All right. Let's head over to Loki. How was your gaming week, Loki?
It's all Minecraft. It's always Minecraft. This week, though, I did put out a new video, so that was pretty good. I got more done on my base, and then it's not covered in this week, so I'll go ahead and say it. Then the news came out that the next update for Minecraft 1.18 is coming out on the 30th. And so that screwed up all my timetables because I thought, oh, I've got like 4 more weeks, and I was planning on doing like some really elaborate things, and then it's like, damn it.
By the way.
which is fine, because what I wanted to do, probably once again overscoping the idea, I wanted to get into animation as well, but I think it would have taken too long, and it would just be very hard to do. It would have been cool. But the new plans now are better, and it's kind of exciting going into the next season and being able to hang out with the people on the server this weekend and actually have voice chats with people. Like, that's just something that I thought I would be doing on my current server, but now it's, you know, kind of fun, and then also pissing off somebody because I built a shop on top of their pumpkin. But, you know, it's Minecraft drama. So, yeah, I'm just going to be finishing up stuff this week and finishing up the build for that. Also, starting planning for next season as well. And just kind of, you know, diving right into that once we get started. I think it's probably going to be a couple weeks. Well, whenever the server version is available. So, usually about the week after. So, hopefully, it'll be starting a new season in like 2 weeks.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Rad.
Look forward to more videos. Good luck to you. Hope the new server works out well. I know getting discovered is always the challenge. It's one we've been facing here at OLR for a long time. But
4 years.
I hope you get it. I hope you get that spark that breaks through. I really do. So my gaming week, I guess I'll follow up to the Dead by Daylight talk. I've also been playing a little bit. I've been kind of getting back into Killer, oddly enough, even though I don't love getting bullied sometimes because I'm not great at Killer. I think, Jamie, I've reached a similar conclusion a different way. I'm just kind of in that point where I'm like, I don't care if I lose. Like, if I lose, so what? Like, the only person that knows is me and maybe the people that bullied me, but it's whatever. They'll just go on to the next match.
I've stopped considering it as losing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's
it's
true.
It's just a game, you know, if you had fun, then you won.
And if you bring no ed, you'll almost always at least get one kill. But
and if you bring no ed and people bitch about it, you can then go, oh, how dare I use a perk that was programmed into the game intended to be used by the developers.
Bring Soul Guard.
Cleanse your damn totems.
Yeah.
Easy asses.
I will
anyway,
find
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. But funny enough, the killer that I'm like super into right now, I actually don't have Noed on. It just hasn't come up in the roulette web. I am super fond of Pinhead right now. It's like the killer I really enjoy playing. Like,
really?
I find the chain mechanic and all that stuff extremely satisfying. I love that when they go do the box, if you aren't chasing anyone else, you get like a free teleport right to smash the survivor.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot about it, and like when people fuck up Pinhead's mechanic, the entire match snowballs for them. And I had a match like that last night where it was like nobody bothered to open the box. I found the box as Pinhead. So basically, when you're playing, for those who don't know Dead by Daylight, when the survivors are doing the thing, you have about 60 seconds every so often to solve the lament configuration. And this is a thing out of the movies. And if you don't solve it, basically, chains start showing up everywhere, and not only do they slow you down, but now the killer can see the chains. So I, as the killer, know where you are because I hear the chains go off. And then even to make that even worse, if you don't solve the box in 60 seconds, if I find it first and I, as Pinhead, solve the lament configuration, then all of you scream, I instantly know where you all are located, and you go right into the chain phase for at least 30 seconds until a new box spawns. I, as Pinhead, cannot see where the box spawns. I have to come across it normally. The survivors, they can all see it. And there is an add-on that makes it a lot harder to find, but I don't run that add-on because it doesn't pop up very often for me. But I don't know. I'm like super into Pinhead. It's weird. So, and when somebody drops a pallet, I love, like, because the other big mechanic is that you can, like, you basically separate from your body to throw a chain. So you do this thing where you like project out where you want the chain to start, and then the camera flips to where the chain is, and you can drive the chain hopefully into
somebody. Do selfies? Do you do hook selfies?
I do pallet selfies. So when somebody throws a pallet down, I'm waiting there. I start with the hook, and I'm waiting there to release the button, and then when they drop the pallet, release, chain them right on the other side of the pallet.
But I mean the where you take the screenshot.
So oh, no, I don't do the screenshot. No. That's clever,
though. Yeah, if you can stand next to the hook, and then you throw the chain, and it turns the camera around.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And which is really funky, because when you play as a killer, and there are two boundary breaks, by the way, and I'm glad one of them showed what it looks like when you play killer, and you go into, like, a third-person perspective when you should be in your first person perspective, and it shows how, like, their body is skewed, you know, a certain way. I think it's funny that it readjusts to the way a survivor sees it when you do that. I mean, I guess it kind of has to, but I think it's interesting just how quickly it happens.
It is.
Well, you know, I love, like, behind the scenes stuff like that.
Real quick update on the achievement front in our chat. Bobby Blackwolf is in chat, the good Bobby, who says, okay, yeah, it looks like they didn't delete the achievements. This is on Xbox. He's just did the research there. He didn't research anything. They didn't delete the achievements more than they renamed them and gave them different unlock criteria. So that's kind of interesting. So they probably, instead of making it Adept Steve, probably made it get out with these three perks. And it's just some whatever. Bobby says Steam did the rename too.
That's interesting, because there are already challenges to get out with certain. I mean, I guess that is the way to redo the Adept, but it's not. You could do that with any character now.
Interesting. So Bobby Blackwolf says the achievement So Alone, which I am assuming is the Steve Adept, because that sounds like him, is now Operation Survival. In a public match, repair. Oh, no, that's in a public match, repair the generator in the treatment theater's operation theater and escape. But that's probably the Hawkins achievement before, and they moved it to Leary's. That's probably what that one is.
That actually makes sense that they moved it to Leary's, because they're sort of the same kind of.
Yeah, they're a very similar map being indoors. Place. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Moving on from Dead by Daylight, I have other games to talk about. So I've also been playing Final Fantasy 14. That expansion should have been out by now, but it was delayed, and that's okay. I don't remember if I mentioned on the show, but I got all my jobs. I hit that goal of getting everything to 80. So I'm ready for the expansion. Now I'm just doing Moogle Tome runs and trying to get more mounts and just upping my collection, getting ready for Endwalker, which early access is December 3rd. I'm very excited about that. So yay. I was playing a little more Forza Horizon 5, which is still a great game. I was playing that a little bit earlier in the week. And then later this week, on Friday, Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl were released. And I picked up Brilliant Diamond, which seems to be the one a lot of people are getting. In retrospect, looking at my friends list, I wish I'd got Shining Pearl. But there's more Pokemon I like in Diamond. So I've been playing that. And I'm already through the second gym. I say already, like some of you guys have probably already beaten the game. But for me, that's good progress. And I'm just enjoying playing Pokemon. I love the quality of life stuff. I know some of the purists can't stand it. Respectfully, you're wrong. These are great changes. For example, the experience share being there and on by default from the very beginning without it being explained, fantastic. Love that. Experience share is such an important part of Pokemon. I don't understand. Yeah, I think you're just living in the dark ages, or you just clamor for an old game from the mid-90s if you're still tied to that. So I love that that's there by default. The changes that they did to the underground to make more Pokemon available sooner are pretty cool. And yeah, I'm just enjoying playing the game. I'm having a good time with a Pokemon game. Mike Deft in chat says, I'm stuck at the beginning, shiny hunting for a starter. Well, that's you. Shane was doing a similar thing, I think, but he gave up. That intro sequence before you get the starter, that takes a while. Like, you don't just start the game and get a starter. You have to kind of go through the town you start in and then go up the trail. It takes a minute to get there. So I can see how resetting is a pain in the ass. E3 VL points out, if you have Let's Go and Sword and Shield, if you have those save files on the Switch, you can get Mew and Jirachi. That is true. You don't see them until you get to the Flower Town, but there's an old man and an old woman in the Flower Town, and the old man will give you Jirachi for having Sword and Shield, and the old woman will give you Mew for having Let's Go. I have them both, and Jirachi, at least as of right now, is on my team, because I enjoy that one. So, yeah, I've been enjoying Pokemon. I don't know what else to say. It's a Pokemon game. It's fun. I'm enjoying it. We'll see if I stick with it all the way to the end. I have a weird feeling it'll probably take me a year to beat it, just because when Final Fantasy XIV expansion comes out, everything else is on hold, and you are not going to hear me talk about anything else for at least 4 weeks, or until I get to the end of the story. It is what it is. We all have our thing. That is my thing. Dark Sakura's got Dead by Daylight. Loki's got Minecraft. I got Final Fantasy XIV, okay?
I should get back into playing.
You should. It's fine. I'm sure the expansion is going to be great.
I'm paying for it.
Oh, yeah. All right. Let's get into some more gaming news. And we'll start with an update to the big headline from last week. Right, Loki?
Yeah, so the Grand Theft Auto Trilogy Definitive Edition is a pile of garbage. Yeah, that's still a thing. And I don't know what to make of this. It's just stupid. So, apparently, Rockstar Games put out a post on their Rockstar Newswire, whatever, saying that, hey, we are aware of the issues, and, you know, there's a title update that's going on right now, and it'll fix a number of the issues. And in the meantime, we're going to put up the older classic versions of Grand Theft Auto 3, Vice City, and San Andreas. Those are going to be available to purchase, and then also for anybody who purchased the Definitive Edition will also get those from the store. I guess they'll receive those until, I guess, June 30th, 2022. So if you purchase the Definitive Edition between then, you'll get that classic version at no additional cost. Oh, how generous of you. Thank you. Then, of course, they said that, you know, the updated versions of these classic games did not launch in the state that meets our own standards of quality or the standards that our fans have come to expect. Excuse me. You're a company that develops very complicated, well-polished games, and you were unaware of the quality, or you didn't believe that they met your standards. Well, guess what? You as a company or a publisher can say, yeah, that doesn't meet our standards. We're not publishing that right now. We're going to delay it and let it go. But you made the decision to release it in the state that it was. So this either tells me you're complete fucking stupid, or you just don't fucking care. Take either one. It doesn't matter. They don't... It's garbage. This is ridiculous that, oh, it wasn't up to our standards. Well, no kidding. I mean, you obviously somebody had to have been playing it or getting updates. You weren't completely going into this blind, like, what? It was looking like that, and we just let it go out? I don't believe that for 1 minute.
I bet the QA department, I bet the quality, because there's going to be people out there that still don't get it, and they're going to sit there and say, don't they have a quality assurance department? Aren't they doing their jobs? Yes, they do, and they are. But guess what? Sometimes you report those things to the top, and they go, we have a minimum viable product. We'll release it and patch it later. That is the decision of the senior folks.
Yeah, and that is not the way to release stuff nowadays. I know it seems like, oh, well, we've got a shoddy shell of a game, just put it out there, we'll patch it later. Okay, well, we're gonna remember that when your next game comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's still the lawsuits that they're filing against modders for different things. So I know right now that they're fighting the lawsuits right now for RE3 and RE Vice City, which were reverse engineered clean room source code. So it was basically kind of seeing how the game works and figuring it out in the back end and redoing it. And so basically saying that, you know, any complaint copying of code protected material that did occur, if any, was undertaken to allow for interoperability of the software and fixing bugs. But such actions comprising reverse engineering are transformative use, is what they're alleging. Which I agree. I think if they are coming up with completely unique code that basically runs the game in a similar manner, then there's not really much they can do about it unless they were actually ripping out the code from the game and popping it into theirs. I mean, I don't know. It's stupid.
SG100 Matt in chat says, this was a side project that didn't have a huge staff, I imagine, that was pushed out to get out something for the holidays. Again, a call from the top. And why are we so... I mean,
they don't,
I don't
need
know.
To have something for the holidays because they have Grand Theft Auto Online. They have Grand. They're making tons of money from that. They don't need to push this out. How much money did this obviously that did this possibly make for them?
Didn't Switch show us that the holidays do not have to be the end all be all of video game releases? I mean, I get it. Yes, there is a lot of retail, but okay, you know what? COVID has fucked everything up. If you have to delay it for a few months, oh, well, release it in April, and I bet there'll be a lot of people who'd still buy it if the product is good. It's mind-blowing to me how people literally die on the hill of getting the game out for the holiday. Yeah, I know. Y'all are going to go to fiscal year, got to get the stocks, has to be out before April, or doesn't go to the fiscal year. Yeah, I get it. But do you think this helped? Do you think this is going to end up being a good thing for them at the end of the day?
Well, like, this is not. It's you cut your losses. Look at. They knew what the studio, the quality of the studio. They had this studio do mobile versions of these games, and then they instead of remastering the console versions for this definitive edition, they remastered the mobile versions, which were like adapted from the console version. So it's like a copy of a copy. You can't tell me that they didn't know that they had issues with it. I mean, like, just can you not, like, I'm going to put the original game on one screen. I'm going to put the piece of shit that I'm working on right now, and I'm going to look at them and go, damn, that doesn't look good. Maybe I should fix that.
Oh, like, someone looked at it, Loki. Someone looked at it. It's
well,
just somebody
it's
else
just,
didn't
like,
care.
Stupid. Like the rain textures that they had were like super high res for what it is. Like, it shouldn't be that high level. The texture file for that shouldn't be that big. And they were using something ridiculously large. I mean, even the rain, just like the opacity, just needed to be fixed on that.
I heard modders are actually
taking care of that stuff. I mean, it's just...
Of course.
And it's weird, too. It's like, even with this, like, the San Andreas rain looks like garbage. And I think 3's rain looks like garbage. But Vice City, not so bad. Like, there's not even consistency between the different games that they have. And you can't tell me it's because they're running on different engines, because they're not. They're all basically the same. It's just, these are like graphical assets. It shouldn't matter how, you know, they can just adjust the texture file that's being used for this. I don't know. It's just so stupid.
They're like, I don't wanna. And that's it. That's why. It's just,
it's low effort. It was an incredibly low effort port of another port that they put in there. It's because that's what they do. They're not going to I don't even know why put this out. Like, why even bother putting this out at this point? Like, I don't understand. Just put a sale out for your other games or something. Like, I don't know why you needed the definitive edition of this.
Which is kind of where they ended up now, is that they are doing a sale on those original games, or they put the original games back after taking them down, right?
Right. Yeah, it just... Oh, God, I don't know. It's stupid.
It's because they thought they could print money. It backfired. Ugh.
All right. Let's move on and talk about... This is pretty big news in the competitive fighting game circuit, and that is, you know, of course, Nintendo has shut down a lot of, Smash Brothers tournaments because they were running on that modded, you know, thing and so forth. Well, very interesting development this week in a tweet from a group of folks that organize tournaments, Panda, who's at Panda Global on Twitter, tweeted out, "We are proud to announce our partnership with Nintendo. In 2022, Panda will be bringing the first officially licensed circuit for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate and Super Smash Bros. Melee to North America. That's the part that has a lot of people raising their eyebrows, because they tagged Nintendo in the tweet. They've given Nintendo coin, or something's happened here, and Nintendo is essentially endorsing Super Smash Bros. Melee as a competitive platform, even though Ultimate is up there as well. It feels like Nintendo was resisting that for a long time. I don't know if this is because Ultimate is now finished. I'm using my quotey fingers, finished, because all the DLC is out there at this point, or what the deal is. But very fascinating, to be quite honest. They did point out more details for this short series of events. I'm not sure what they mean by that. With cash prizes is coming very soon. So that's pretty awesome.
Hmm.
Yeah. Just
maybe they wanted the new games showcased, and so they agreed to do the new game and the old game as well.
Yeah, which I would have figured would have been part of it. And Mike Deft in chat says this is actually huge, like so freaking huge. Yes, but if you're in that fighting game circuit, and I have seen people who do play Smash on a somewhat competitive level that are like kind of tweeting like whoa at this, you know, type of news that's going on. This is a big deal. The fact that you're going to have an official Nintendo Smash Brothers Melee tournament in the year, assumably 2022. You know what, 20 years almost 20 years after it was released. That is a pretty big deal. And especially after Nintendo, you know, was shutting down modders, and really kind of was perceived to anyway, really be burying Melee in favor of Ultimate. So this is very, very interesting.
Either that or they wanted it very specifically on their terms.
And that honestly could be it as well. And maybe Nintendo, to some extent, kind of realizes they have to do this because they can't exactly stop the modders. But if they can get a company to partner with that's willing to do cash prizes for this, then this is the one people are going to work for. And I think that's also a big thing. If you're going to get a cash prize from being the best in a Melee version of this, it's in one that's Nintendo acknowledged nonetheless, it's going to make it more attractive to train to and compete to. I'm not saying it's going to do away with mods. You'll never do away with mods. And there's always going to be a fan, you know, fans for that scene and all that stuff.
Modder's going to mod.
Yeah, but I think it's going to, they're going to pull people away from that in this more quote unquote legit thing, which I think is interesting. SSG 100 map saying Nintendo was hesitant to get in the tournament scene. They were shutting down a ton of tournaments until recent years. Even now, they only mildly tolerated tournaments. Now they're actually partnering with a legit esports group to put something out. Mike Deft follows that up and says, yeah, Hungrybox actually got emotional about this. Well, this is, you know, if this is something that's been like underground for a long time, and it's nice for Nintendo to kind of fucking acknowledge it. So kudos to everybody that stood by that 20-year-old game while everybody was saying, why are you playing such a goddamn old game? Get over it. Play the new shit. For those of you guys out there that stuck with it, congratulations. You know, you're
proud of yourself.
You're getting a hug this week. And I, to some extent, I get it. Like, the modded thing, I kind of always understood why Nintendo shut that down. You may not like it, but Nintendo completely was in the legal right to shut that down. The unmodded, like, local game store tournaments on Melee, like, what's the problem, Nintendo? What's the problem? If it bothered you that much, sell copies of Melee, which, by the way, a lot of people are thinking this might lead to that, is that, oh, now that Smash Brothers Ultimate is done, and there's this whole audience that wants to do Melee and do it competitively, let's sell them the game again on the Switch.
Mm. That doesn't actually sound far off.
I holiday 2022. What do you bet?
Sell them a game on the Switch or sell them a subscription to Nintendo online services that's going to include that game in there.
No, they're not going to. No. They won't Netflix the GameCube games. They're going to sell them separately. But you know what? If this opens the door.
$60 a pop.
If this opens the door to F-Zero GX being also one of those games that comes out on a GameCube thing, I'm going to allow it. That's the reality. All right. Pod Culture in chat says Melee Ultimate Remastered. See, I think the community would reject that immediately. If it is not frame by frame perfect to the original, the community will reject it.
The definitive edition.
Yeah. Now
I've got a company.
They're ready to work on another game.
Yeah. Vicarious Visions, before they were purchased by an evil company, did what was considered to be a pretty relatively good remaster where you just hit a button to toggle between the two. If that's the direction Nintendo wants to go with it, cool. But yeah. All right. Let's move on. Dark Sakura. How about more rumors? We love rumors on Thanksgiving week when the news is slower.
Well, CD Projekt, there was like a little bit of a leak out there that had a trailer. It was actually included in a trailer for Cyberpunk 2077 that there would be links to using Xbox Game Pass, that it would be available via Game Pass. And they're like, nope, we didn't do that. That's a rumor. Stop. And the actually direct quote says, there are no Game Pass plans for Cyberpunk 2077. But it was there, you know, there was the mention of it. It makes me think that at some point they actually did have some sort of discussion about it. The DLC delays are also not coming out. The DLC is for this year has been delayed until next year. The new titles that are coming out for Xbox Game Pass, well, actually just for this month, is Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, the Definitive Edition, It Takes Two, Forza Horizon 5, and Evil Genius 2.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'd grab Cyberpunk if it came out on Game Pass.
I wish it would.
I get
because
it.
Because you know why?
Why?
It's not your kind of game. Aww. I don't have the Xbox.
Oh.
That's why I would not. Because I cannot. I'm also completely not mad about it.
I still don't have a PlayStation 5, and I kind of want to remedy that. But I'm at the point where I'm like, okay, maybe they'll do a Pro next year. But the reality is, when Final Fantasy 16 is dated, I will get a PlayStation 5, period. So, All right.
If you can find one, that's always the major caveat.
Don't remind me. All right, let's move on. Loki.
So basically, according to Tom Henderson, DICE had pitched Battlefield 3, but it was rejected by EA due to the cost of using the Star Wars license. It got turned down because it takes 20% more sales to make the same money. So instead, they're going to work on another Battlefield game. Like Battlefield 2042, the one that just got released and also has the worst reviewed game on Steam. That series. You know. It's the Battlefield to Call of Duty, I guess.
Tiger Claw in chat says, probably because EA got burned by what happened with Battlefront 2. Well, whose fault was that? Whose fault was that?
Was your fault, and not for, you know, not embracing the wonderful world of loot boxes. Don't you like surprises?
I hate how disconnected executives are at these companies from fucking reality. It blows my mind.
A requirement of being an executive.
God. N3 VL in chat says current Battlefield is buggy. Oh yeah, we've been hearing about that. I mean, that's not the type of game I play, but I've definitely been hearing about that. Another thing I've been hearing about quite a bit this week has to do with a little company called Streamlabs. There's a lot that Streamlabs really got a good dragging, a hair pulling on social media this week. And it started with plagiarism accusations. Basically, they've been working on a product that's very similar to Lightstream, which is where you can stream without the need of a capture card. I think it just kind of pulls from like I don't know how it all actually works. I don't know if it's going through your mobile device or streaming like I think you're streaming it on your device to like a server that then, you know, you go through and broadcast on. I haven't really had to look into it because I am fortunate enough to have a capture card.
It's a thing that does stuff.
But Streamlabs was going to launch their own version of it, and boy, oh boy, did Lightstream call them out on their bullshit. They put out a tweet that was like, when the other kid copies your homework, and I'm telling you, this Streamlabs launch page was like, copy, copy, down to the testament quotes. And of course, Streamlabs put out this apology that was like, it was something that was supposed to be a test page that was not supposed to go into production. Well,
right.
Well, but
all
the,
right.
The,
I am going to take a step
back. We just changed the text and changed the fonts.
No, actually, I will tell you, I have copied and pasted a layout for the sake of setting up my layout. I will typically not copy and paste text.
Mm-hmm.
And just do like the lorem ipsum text, but I'm not going to default that as a statement, but I am going to say it's fucking lazy on their designer's part to have done it verbatim.
Well, and also, like, it's not, the fact is, it's that coupled with the fact that Streamlabs is essentially building off a knockoff software of the page they stole. That isn't, I think the problem is that it's those two things together that make it really ugly. If they knocked off some other person's website for this product, then, you know, they're still kind of, you know, being lazy, but at least they showed that there were multiple sources of inspiration and not just one. The other problem is then, oh my God, the floodgates opened up. So then OBS sent out a tweet this week that was like, yeah, so we asked Streamlabs.
While we're spilling tea.
Yeah. While we're doing a dragging, while we're doing a public, you know, yoinking of Streamlabs, we asked them not to use OBS in their name, and they did it anyway. Oop. In response.
And they trademarked it.
Yeah. Oh, that was the other. Oh, that was really shady, too. In response, Streamlabs sent out a lovely little white text on a black background tweet, this is the part that blows my mind. What they wrote is big enough for an actual tweet, but they decided to do the white text on black background. Okay, go off.
Because they probably copied it from somebody else and they had to do a screen.
Saying,
it's done for effect.
We are taking immediate action to remove OBS from our name. Streamlabs OBS is built on top of the OBS open source platform. Streamlabs OBS is also open source and our code is publicly available. We take responsibility for our actions and will support the community. I mean, this is the equivalent of like that scene from Game of Thrones where she's having to parade naked through the town and everybody's ringing the bell going, shame, shame. That is what's happening to Streamlabs right now. And it just makes it feel like their entire business is built on copying other people's homework.
Wouldn't be the first time that's happened. I've been trying to, when you're entangled though in the Streamlabs ecosystem, disentangling yourself is a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Because I'm having to do that right now. I've already, you know, removed my personal merch store away from it, you know, which honestly, we'll talk about that offline, but it was really easy to do. But, you know, all of my, because I use CloudBot, you know, changing everything over is not easy and they kind of make it that way.
Elgato also dragged them because I believe Streamlabs is launching an app that basically does the same thing as a Stream Deck. So, everybody's ringing their bells. Like, now is the time. I think Festivus came early this year because everyone's airing their grievances against Streamlabs.
Right.
Interesting side effect that hits close to home here at Orange Lounge Radio and Vogue Network, where we broadcast every Sunday night. We had a year agreement through Streamlabs basically. Well, not agreement because it wasn't like a contract or anything, but basically we bought a year of Streamlabs Pro so that we could sell the merchandise. You know, I always plug the shop at the end of the show. That contract was set to be renewed on, or the, sorry, not contract, but you know, the agreement.
Was set
to be renewed on Friday. Bobby made an executive decision, which I supported, to not renew the agreement. Henceforth, there is no Vogue Network shop anymore. Actually, my understanding is it is still there. However, I cannot endorse it because I don't know if we will actually make money off of it at this point. So I'm not going to be sharing that link right now. That's why Dark Soccer hinted we need to talk offline, because an interesting sort of thing, the timer came up on Streamlabs. We have opted, you know what? Y'all are messy. We don't need to do messy. So we're going to
We messy enough without y'all.
And I think you're on the right track, Dark Soccer, when you talk about untangling a little bit. So we're going to move the merch store somewhere else, and we're going to be doing Stream Elements. Bobby is doing a test tonight on Stream Elements to make sure that a lot of the stuff that's kind of magic that runs behind the scenes, such as the bits and subs that scroll on the bottom so people get their shout outs and all that. He's actually running a test right now during tonight to see if it's everything's cool, like nothing breaks or whatever. And we are looking at making the motion to change over to Stream Elements, at least for that component, after this week.
The hardest part that I see with all of that are, because, you know, I have my shout commands. Not my shout commands. I mean, those I think I can move over pretty easy if I use Chrome, because there's a tool that does it. But the ones that I'm really the most concerned about are going to be like my sound alerts that I set up in Slobs, Streamlabs OBS, which thankfully they're changing that name. But it doesn't work with Stadia. And I'm not the only person who notices how buggy their freaking app is and what a resource hog it is.
Yeah, so I tried.
I use it just for setting stuff up.
I tried Slobs for like 5 seconds because I will admit they have some really nice built-in templates. Now, of course, when everybody has access to those templates, you don't look so unique. But it was not running efficiently. Like, I was getting frame skipped. It was not running well on my computer, so I went back to OBS. Like, it was like, I think I maybe did one test stream in that, and I was like, nah, this isn't worth it.
And for me, it was the only way that I could possibly use Chatbot, because I'm on a Mac. I am proud of being on a Mac. But they don't make Chatbot for Mac, and since I'm on an M1, I can't run it through Crossover. So, or even emulated in Wine. So I have to use CloudBot, and as it is, I'm going to be going over to whatever Stream Elements users or go to Nightbot like a bunch of people do. So, but yeah, if anyone doesn't think that there's anything, if you're a new streamer and you only think that it's Streamlabs, you've got alternatives.
Even Twitch has their own stream thing that you can use as well. That
it
I think
sucks
might
on
be
a Mac, by the way.
Oh, I think it might be built on top of OBS. I can't remember, but there
is built on OBS.
Yeah, there are plenty of options out there. Just so folks know. Anyway,
well, and I'll say one last thing about Stream Elements.
Yeah.
For other streamers out there, they offer what's the word? Sponsored streaming opportunities, like left and right.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I you know, we're going to look into that. I do really like the idea that their merch shop allows you to give discounts to people who subscribe. I kind of love that. But I know that you really enjoy the quality of the merch that the store you've been working with has been putting out. So we'll figure it out. We'll figure out.
Well,
but either way,
you can actually do broader coupons with Spring, I think. But offline.
But either way, sorry, y'all. But the shop is closed just in time for the holiday shopping season. Love that for us. But it'll come back bigger and better as soon as we can. So there you go. Let's see. I also want to point out Dark Tetsuya in chat said, good to know you'll move the shop elsewhere. Oh, yeah. We don't want to get rid of ways for you guys to help us financially pay for things like Streamlabs that we end up canceling.
Hello, we like money. Yeah. I mean, we like keeping the show afloat.
Exactly. Running a business takes a lot of money. And again, we really, really want to get back into live conventions and all that good stuff. Anyway, Dartusia says, haven't been able to get a shirt or anything just yet for various reasons, but hopefully by the time it finds a new home, I'll be able to. I'm hoping in the next month or so we have this all figured. If that, I bet we're talking about this in a week or two. It's just, we're going to miss the biggest shopping day of the year. Oh, well. Sorry, guys. All right. Let's move on.
For the record, if I do recall correctly, I think that you can have a limited number of merch that you can share through the free version.
Oh, that's cool.
Because having a merch shop, they make money off of it regardless.
Oh, they sure do. Of course they do.
Yeah. So if I do recall correctly, you just have fewer things that you can have on your storefront.
Alrighty, let's move on and let's get back into games and less drama. Dark Sakura.
Well, general good guy all around Phil Spencer. He has come out on record saying that he believes that a large focus on video game preservation in the industry is a good idea, that he hopes to turn to emulation to preserve these games. I'll read the quote. My hope and I think I have to present it that way as of now, is as an industry would work on legal emulation that allowed modern hardware to run any within reason older executable, allowing someone to play any game. There is some backwards compatibility in a relatively limited fashion. Nintendo certainly, I think, has been the leader at this with their online library of the NES, NES, Genesis, all that stuff up there. Xbox just had 70 games added to its backwards compatibility list. So it's good to see that sort of dedication to keeping the old up with the new so that people can see where their games came from. I think it's a great idea. Well, on top of that, we're also dealing with the 20th anniversary of Xbox, which my baking buddy Seamus Blackley has been posting about. It's been really neat watching the old pictures and seeing the old ads pop up on my Twitter feed. But well, yeah,
Oh, I was just going to say, good on Phil Spencer for kind of recognizing this is an issue in the industry and trying to do something about it. Obviously, Microsoft did an about face with its own stance on emulation, but I think in large part that's due to Phil Spencer coming on board, you know, and really yeah. driving that. So that's a great thing. And I bet Phil Spencer would love it if other, you know, platforms might make their way over to Xbox and so forth. We'll see, though. Of course, they had the opportunity with Game Room. And decided to let that go. But again, that was not under Phil Spencer's call, so I will back off the attack dogs on that one because I bitch about it every week.
We don't blame him for the idiocy of others.
No, we don't. We don't.
We do not.
But good. This is a good stance and promising. I hope it keeps moving in the right direction.
I'm happy to hear it.
There's really a second half to this, which Loki has, and that is you kind of brought up the 20 years of Xbox, and there's even more, right, Loki?
Yes, lots of exciting stuff. So they had announced that there's going to be 70-plus classic games that are going to be coming to Xbox, even some more with performance boosts as well. So lots more backwards-compatible games. Of that, I mean, you know, they've got several games from pretty much the whole series of Fear is on there, Dead or Alive, you know, a few games of that. Beautiful Katamari. That's pretty cool. Then what else? Oh, and Time Splitters 2. That's an excellent game. And then, hey, surprise! We're putting out Halo Infinite's multiplayer early. You'll have to wait until December 8th. And apparently it's excellent. So that was a pretty cool surprise that they had. Then, well, along with that, you can now, with the Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, you can use Xbox Cloud Gaming if you have Game Pass Ultimate as well. So that's pretty awesome. You don't have to necessarily do that now to a mobile or smartphone device. You can actually use your console, which I think is the direction that they wanted to go with that stuff. And also, it's nice when you want to, say, play a game like, I don't know, Flight Simulator or something like that, that would normally be a really large download. You can just kind of stream it. So pretty cool.
Sorry, my sister is texting me as if she doesn't know that I have a show right now. That's why I keep looking at my phone. Sorry, guys. Yes, I thought the Xbox event was pretty cool. I love that they have still enhanced the backwards compatibility. I know they've pretty much definitively said this time, this is it. We're not doing any more work on backwards compatibility. This is it. And that's okay.
That's fair. You know,
obviously, yeah, I mean, it's fair. I mean, yes, I'm sure we can all think of games that are still missing DDR.
It's still a lot. I mean, but yeah, DDR would be cool, but
Jet Set Radio Future in chat, I see being named, of course. So that's a bummer.
Yeah, but they still got like quite a bit in there, and at least they're putting effort into it. So props for that. But
yeah,
I don't know. I get it.
I didn't mention it during my gaming week, but I did lightly check out that Shock Halo Infinite drop that they did. I did spend the 100 gigs of my bandwidth to download it because we've been doing really good on bandwidth this month. So I downloaded that Halo Infinite preview, and I got through the tutorial at least. Now, I did not know that there was a PvE or player versus bots mode, and Bobby was telling me about that before on his show tonight. So I definitely will check that out because I'm still a little bit like that Doom difficulty. Mommy, I'm too scared to die when it comes to Halo Online right now. But yeah. I think the PvE thing Bobby was talking about is good. That's how I enjoyed playing other games too, is PvE. But also, thankfully, now that I'm super into Dead by Daylight and all this stuff, it's kind of softened me a little bit on playing with strangers, even though it also still annoys the shit out of me sometimes. Like, you know, when you're solo queuing and you get in a match against a Freddy and everybody else decides to die on first hook because it's Freddy. Like, annoying.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyway. But I won't talk more about that. Instead, I will talk about another old company trying to do new things. You know what? We give this company a lot of shit, and to be fair, I kind of think it's justified most of the time. But this sounds kind of interesting, and it's Atari we're going to talk about. Atari is going to be rolling out something called Atari XP. This is not like an individual gamer product, but it's an initiative for retro gaming enthusiasts, collectors, where you can get actual Atari game cartridges from the 70s and 80s. But these are games that didn't really end up happening. They're either things that probably showed up on a flashback console or just straight up never happened. I think all of these showed up on a flashback at some point, but Yars Return, Aquaventure, and Saboteur. I know I've heard of Saboteur in the Yars one before. Those games are going to be the first three that will be through this service. They are going to stay focused on Atari 2600, 5200, 7800, not like Jaguar and the stuff that came after that stuff.
No Tempest 3000? That would be rad.
Yeah, I know. Well, who knows? If these things sell really well, anything
could
happen.
We've had plenty of other Tempests.
Yeah. So anyway, these limited editions are newly manufactured. These are not old cartridges that were like dug out of landfill or something. These are being printed new. There will be an instruction manual and other bonus material, a collectible pin and a badge, a certificate of authenticity, and you can even get a digital copy to play on your Atari VCS. Like anyone owns one of those. Come on now. But cute. They're also saying 1,983 copies of these, to signify the year they would have been released. Now, ready for the whopper? These games will go for $150 over at AtariXP.com. But there will be standard editions, cartridge only, that are $50. They are planning on doing more with Atari XP, including unreleased titles, rare games, improved versions of classic games with refined mechanics and graphics. Can you imagine
a good E.T.?
Yes, but except they're never going to get the license to do E.T. again. They can't do that. Unless somebody wrote a real good contract in 1982 or whatever that was. Unless someone wrote a real good contract, Atari's not going to be able to do another E.T.
The thing is that there's also other companies that have done repros of prototypes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've got a few of them. Like, yeah. I have actually have a baby Pac-Man prototype.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Tempest. You know, lots of stuff like that. And they sell them for a lot less. So I don't know what they think it's set that it is, maybe that it is official and licensed. I don't know.
Hmm. Interesting. Bobby points out that some of these are homebrew. I thought Saboteur in particular was like just an unreleased Atari game. I didn't realize that Yars Return, or I'm sorry, I already forgot the name, was a homebrew thing. But Bobby says it came out in 2005. They're just selling people's homebrews. Well, now maybe that's how the homebrews were able to be legitimized a little bit, I guess. I mean, they were kind of making it on Atari's IP. But, hey, hopefully both ends are getting coin. Hopefully the homebrew maker's getting the coin, Atari's getting the coin, because there's a lot of coin when you're charging $150. So that's kind of – it's interesting. So we talk about stealing the other ideas earlier. We talked about Streamlabs and all that. Atari is basically doing limited-run games. But – I sort of think that's the wheelhouse they should be in. And whether you agree this is the right price or not and all this stuff, I think it's better than that joke of a new console they put out not that long ago. Although the hotel thing does sound rad.
That's not what I'm making that sound about. It's that they're not really imitating limited run because limited run doesn't have the monopoly on doing that either.
And they didn't copy the website as far as we know.
But I mean, a limited run of a game is just that. It's limited printing of a game, and companies have been doing that forever. So I don't know if that's the best comparison that I would have made.
Well, that's fair. The reason why I bring it up is because the limited run games has had such success with it. And I think, mm-hmm. I think it showed somebody at Atari, whoever's calling the shots there, this could work because it's working over here for these guys and their NES replicas of Mega Man 2 and all this stuff. So that's why I put it that way, is that, you know,
probably. Makes sense then.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, Bobby also humble bragging a little bit, saying, I bought Saboteur from Howard Scott Warshaw directly, and it's signed back in 2004. Can we just give it up here for Howard Scott Warshaw right now? He was a true genius of the 80s Atari games. And of course, I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old commercials on that network where he used to brag he made one of the best Atari 2600 games ever made, Yar's Revenge, and one of the worst, E.T., but y'all know the documentaries are out there. What Howard Scott Warshaw was given 6 weeks and a bag of cocaine, allegedly, to make E.T. happen. And you got what you got. Oh my God. The broke ass game to make the holiday season has been a recurring theme in this industry since literally 82, 83, whenever that E.T. game came out. And here we are, 2021. And Take Two still hasn't figured it out. Orange Wright says, E.T. if it wasn't crunched. I mean, but back in the day, it really was one person that made a lot of those games. It really was. Bonds 006 says, but he did it. And that's why in many ways, E.T. is actually kind of awesome. Yes, I said it. E.T. is actually kind of awesome because he threw that together in 6 weeks. What have you done with the last 6 weeks? I know I don't have a great answer for that. So I just think that's a great story with that for what it is. So, all right. I think a great segue into our next segment. So let me roll the bump.
Now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
And Dark Soccer is going to tell you the game, and I'm going to warn you, I'm having to do this a little differently tonight. Apologies, I neglected to rip the B-roll in advance because I had a little bit of a busy Sunday, but I think we got it. So Dark Soccer, what is the classic game of the week?
The classic game of the week is Marvel Ultimate Alliance, which I played the shit out of. I even remember Tiara visiting once and us playing through this game and having such a great time with it. But anyway, it's by the company that acquired another company that's currently having some problems right now, and I didn't realize it when I picked it. But it came out in 2006. It was an action role-playing game developed by Raven Software for PS2, PS3, Xbox, and Xbox 360, published by They Who Shall Not Be Named. It did have a port to PSP and Wii by Vicarious Visions, and then to Windows by Beenox. There is a sort of Game Boy Advance version by Barking Lizards, and a remastered version developed by Zoe Mode for Windows, PS4, Xbox One that came out 10 years later in 2016. So it is set in its own, I guess, part of the Marvel multiverse, where you have different heroes, different villains, different supporting characters. And it's very similar to X-Men Legends and X-Men Legends 2 Rise of Apocalypse, that you have... you choose your different team from the roster there and different story objectives that you go. For this particular one, you have to defeat Dr. Doom and the Masters of Evil. It was a really good game. I mean, it was really fun. You had, like, just the best banter that went in the game. It was so much fun. I mean... I felt, you know, Ultimate Alliance 2 was really good. Ultimate Alliance 3 was kind of, even though it was done by Team Ninja. But, well, we won't talk about that yet. Maybe in 2029. So that'll be 10 years after that. Anyway, you start from a cast of over 22 playable characters, although some of them are not available when you start. You have to unlock them. You also get bonuses if you form certain groups, like putting Avengers together, Defenders, Fantastic Four, X-Men, Marvel Knights, you know. And then you have to do these different missions as you keep going. And you can switch between your characters. They've got special moves. You've got different things going. It's very much a masher game, though, I will be perfectly honest. There's also some differences in some of the other versions. For Xbox 360 on Xbox Live Marketplace, you had a Heroes pack that gave you a few other Marvel characters, and you had a Villains pack, you know. And they came with different achievements. The Gold Edition has all of that in there. Of course, you know, if the game is successful, they're going to do 50 million different versions of the game. The Wii version has motion-specific controls, and you can also they also have different missions and added in a couple other characters. As did the PC version, it has intuitive mouse controls, but it also will work with the gamepad. And then, of course, the Game Boy Advance version is just the sort of teeny version of it. The game is beautiful. It has, you are traveling all through the Marvel Universe. You go to Asgard, you go to space, you hang out with Galactus for a hot minute. It's pretty, pretty awesome. You've got so many different bosses in the game, like, and I like to pride myself on my comic book knowledge, although I will say that most of my knowledge has to basically stay in the X-Men universe. But there's some pretty, pretty cool stuff. And there's other characters that are just in cutscenes that's still a really good nod to. It got really positive reviews. For Metacritic, the initial console releases were over 80%. Reviewers and magazines gave it really good reviews. And like I said, there's been sequels. There was Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2. That was also pretty fun, but it was the stupid Civil War storyline, which I hated the Civil War storyline from the comics. I won't go there. And then there was Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, The Black Order. That was done by Team Ninja. And it's a reboot of the series, so it's a different continuity from the first game, but it has kind of similar lines. It's to this day, it's still a very solid, easy-to-play game. It's got great story to it. It's really just it really is a lot of fun. I kind of want to hook up my Xbox again and play it. I mean, just because I've had it kind of on my mind for a little bit. It's really good. And I recommend if you haven't played it, why the fuck not?
All right.
Especially playing as Deadpool.
Sounds like there it is. Your classic game of the week, Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Yeah.
Very, very loved choice by chat, it sounds like. Let's see. Tiger Claw says, you have to remember the game came out after the last two games that were X-Men Legends 1 and 2. Sure.
That's what I said.
Yeah. Oh. Questbuster says, replayability was great. There was loot, unlockable characters, and a skill system to keep you coming back. SG100 Matt says, I got it on PS2 in storage somewhere. SG100 Matt also says, very button mashy, but so much fun. So.
Oh, yeah. This was a stress relief game for me. I had a lot of fun. And yes, I did mention right at the beginning that it was based off of the same for X-Men Legends and X-Men Legends 2.
Ah, gotcha.
So, yeah, if people I may listen have snuck to what in a potty I say.
Break. All right. awesome. There it is. Your classic game of the week. So let's get back into talking about some news, and we'll go now to rapid fire news. Loki, why don't you start us off?
Yeah, so we got news, and I'm not surprised because of all the backlash it received, but That Saints Row has been delayed now to August of 2022. And it's, you know, basically to give them more development time, which I'm totally cool with. Let's let them take the time and make it good and maybe come up with some different characters that they have in the game.
Yeah, that's a tall order.
I'll give it a chance. Actually, the gameplay looked pretty good. Still not sold on the characters yet, but if they have good writing, a good story behind them, maybe I'll come around. But like,
no promises.
The gameplay looks all right. No promises. Yeah. Then something that's actually very insanely cool is this brand new Disney World DLC pack that's available for Minecraft Bedrock. And what it adds is Walt Disney World Magic Kingdom. And it's a full park. You can actually have all of the cast members sign a book. You have an autograph book that you can go through and stuff. And all of the rides are interactable. You can actually ride all the rides. And it's extremely detailed with the copyright music and everything.
Wow.
They even went so far, if you were to stream it, to have like a content creator mode in it that will suppress the copyrighted music. I checked out some video of it. It looks absolutely amazing. Like, it's just really realistic. Like, someone was playing the Buzz Lightyear ride, and you can actually like shoot the targets and everything like that, which
oh,
is
wow.
pretty awesome.
Do I have a reason to play Minecraft again?
You can drive
so.
In.
I'm gonna check this out.
Autotopia. Yeah, all the rides are in there. Like, I was gonna get this for my kid, but I probably have to try it out myself too. It looks pretty cool.
Oh my gosh, Space Mountain.
Yeah, Space Mountain is in it. It
oh, this
looks
is
amazing.
Definitely the Disney World stuff.
Wow, yeah, I want to check it out.
Very good.
Can I get it on Xbox with that version?
Yes. Yeah, oh, that cool. version is the one. Yeah.
Oh, sorry,
it's like
I missed
10
that.
$10 is the DLC.
That's pretty neat. I might have to check that out. That's really clever and cool.
Yeah.
This looks pretty neat.
Yeah.
The detail in it is amazing. It's still Minecraft blocks, but they have a lot of like an insane amount of custom items, and obviously like some customized stuff that they coded into it. They have the fireworks show that you can do as well. Lots of cool stuff.
I saw some grim grinning ghosts.
Yes, yes, and they even have what are the barbershop quartet?
The Dapper Dans.
The Dapper Dans. They're in there.
Ah,
that's fun. Like
damn
that.
It, Disney.
All right. Dar Sakura, I'm sorry to pull you away from that YouTube, but I know you have some headlines for us, too.
Yes. So there is an update for Mario Kart Live, even though not everyone has been super into it. But there
Mario
is
Kart, Mario Kart Live in a Box, because that's where my Mario Kart Live is.
Well, it's being referred to as version 2.0. It has a split screen mode, so you can have two carts on one Switch, a relay race, you have the Luigi Cup, three new courses, which is King Boo's Courtyard, Music Broadway, and Windmill Meadows, and an unlockable cart that you get if you place in all of the new courses. It's called Luigi's Poltergust. And there you go. If you're into it, maybe it's a reason to play again.
There you go.
And then I have to tell this site that I don't want cookies. I mean, I want real cookies, but whatever. So Sega has clarified their stance on the Microsoft thing. Basically, the details are, I'm just going to go ahead and read this verbatim. We already have a close business relationship with Microsoft. We outsource the development of their large-scale titles, and as a third party, we are supplying a variety of titles, referring to their work on Halo Wars 2 and Age of Empires 4. So they're not talking about exclusivity, but to do a super game initiative, something that they're going to be working on together.
Very curious to see what comes of that, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Let's travel around the world and check out releases for this week. I'm not sure we have a lot, because the games that want to be sold on Black Friday should be out by now, but I guess we did have a couple games that released last year on Black Friday, but let's check in with Loki.
Does it exist in Japan?
Yeah, well, that's true. We got the rest of the world, too. Yeah. So, Loki, what's coming out this week?
So, this week we've got not a whole ton. We have RE Legend, Which is going to be on PC, PlayStation 4, Nintendo Switch, and Xbox One. Death's Door, which is on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 5. That's it.
All right. As Dark Soccer alluded to, much different story in Japan. We have a lot of releases, actually, this week on the Switch. Ironically, Dead by Daylight getting a 5th anniversary edition on the Nintendo Switch. And that is, they labeled it is in English, but it is a Japanese localized release. Kukiyomi 123 also out in Japan this week on the Switch. We have Deer Simulator, your average everyday deer game. I like that it's got an honest title.
I kind of want to play that.
It's a goat simulator. It's really stupid.
Okay.
I like stupid.
It's pretty stupid.
Well, that's out in Japan this week. We have Eastward also coming out in Japan this week, all on the 25th. Asatsu Gutori is also out this week. And we have some other games in regular and limited edition. One release is Parfait Remake, and the other release is Fuyu Kiss. Those are just the Nintendo Switch titles for this week. Taking a look at PlayStation 5, Farming Simulator 22 gets its Japanese release this week, as well as Disciples Liberation, Treasures of the Aegean, again, Dead by Daylight.
Aegean?
Yes, that's it. Aegean.
Like the Aegean Sea?
Dead by Daylight, also getting its Japanese release, or I think it's a different bundle, basically. I think it's been out in Japan, but the 5th anniversary edition is out this week. And then Cricket 22, the official game of the Ashes, also out in Japan this week. And quickly glancing at the PlayStation 4 to see if there's anything that wasn't already covered on the Switch. I think mostly it's the same stuff, but you do have, you get a price reduction on Need for Speed Heat, and then the whole looks like Biohazard 25th, Volume 1, Volume 2, Volume 3, those different episodes, those are, I think they're a price reduction as well, happening on the PlayStation 4 this week. Dead by Daylight, also on PS4 if you care.
Well, sometimes Jamie gets really bored early in the morning and watches Japanese streamers playing Dead by Daylight.
Oh, fun.
And sometimes they'll say, they'll actually talk to English viewers. So I think it's pretty fun.
Oh, that's neat. Well, they have a new retail release for whatever reason. I imagine it probably just bundles in some of the DLC and, trying to draw new people into the game. So that is available.
Yep. All right. So for Europe then, right?
Yep.
Okay. Just making sure you got everything because they're pretty big. Well, it's already out now, but Farming Simulator 22 came out today. And then for the 23rd, we have Let's Sing 2022 on Switch. On the 25th, we have Cricket 22, the official games of the Ashes for PlayStation and Xbox. We have Asterix and Obelix, Slap Them All. Funny comics. So we have that on PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. And then on the 26th, we have Windlands 2 for PlayStation. That's it.
All right. That's it. We still have some more headlines for you guys, and then, of course, we'll get to that part of the show where you can call in or email or any of that stuff. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But first, Loki with another headline.
Yeah, so this is kind of cool. This was something that was more of a rumor in leaks. We talked about like the fighting game that had like Shaggy and Superman and whatnot. But apparently it's actually a real thing. So it's going to be a free-to-play game that Warner Games is putting out. And it's basically like a Smash Brothers game, but it has all sorts of different characters in it from different Warner Brothers properties. So right now, the roster that they showed off, they've got Arya Stark from Game of Thrones. We have Batman, Superman, Bugs Bunny, Finn the Human, Jake the Dog, Harley Quinn, Shaggy, Tom and Jerry, Wonder Woman. And then they've got a new character that they created called Rain Dog, and Garnet, who I have no idea what show she is from.
That would probably be Steven Universe,
I think,
right?
Steven Universe, yeah.
It may be Steven Universe. Yeah, I'm not familiar with Steven Universe. But where this actually seems to be a little bit better than, say, the Nintendo one that just came out recently was, you may remember that none of their characters were voice acted, whereas in this one, all of the characters are voice acted and by the people that actually
did. You mean Nickelodeon, not Nintendo?
Yeah, the Nickelodeon one. Yeah.
Okay,
sorry.
That's what I thought.
Not Nintendo. The Nickelodeon one is what I was talking about. So they have like Kevin Conroy as Batman, Tara Strong as Harley Quinn, Matthew Lillard as Shaggy, And of course, Maisie Williams reprising Aria, and John DiMaggio as Jake the Dog and stuff. So very huge cast of voice actors in that. It's supposed to be coming out later, I guess, next year, and on all the consoles and PC and stuff. But
many folks in chat referencing how this game appears to be very memeified. It kind of seems to exist for the memes. Not only do you have Matthew Lillard doing Shaggy, which is something the internet is, you know, memed all over the place. Pod Culture pointing out
Casey Kasem is clearly dead.
Yeah, well, Pod Culture points out Shaggy has a smoke 'em out move, which, you know, is obviously a wink and a nod to what we all know. Shaggy,
and he can also like Super Saiyan
van.
Or whatever.
Yeah,
and so it's like the Super Shaggy thing. Yeah.
Like, does he have to eat a Scooby snack for it?
Yeah. Bonds 006 in chat says, to think, someone at WB actually went to their boss with this idea and he approved it. Well, you know what? We've had enough stories about idiot executives tonight. It's time to recognize a good one. So congrats that guy at WB who gave this the green
light. It could be a lady, Rob.
You're right. Let's not give them credit for, like, coming up with this idea. It's not a unique idea. Let's look at you know, the history here. So we have Ready Player One that they tried this with already, with shoehorning as many things as possible in there. Then Space Jam 2, or Ready Player One Part 2, where they tried shoehorning as many Warner Brothers properties as possible. Thankfully, though, on the game side, it seemed to work out a little bit better because, you know, we've got Lego Dimensions, which is fantastic. So I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. Hey, maybe can we get some, like, other properties, like, you know, Lego Dimensions in this as well? I mean,
bring back the Hair Bear Bunch.
Because maybe we get Chell from, you know, Portal fighting in here as well.
That would be amazing. We need Space Ghost.
Yes.
Space Ghost needs to be in it. Space Ghost is a superhero.
I'm sure there's plenty more lists to come. This is not going to be the end of it.
Yes, it's a small roster, and they've already said that they're planning on adding more characters as they go along. And they have also different, like, skins and whatnot. Obviously, free to play game, so you're gonna, you know, buy stuff.
What if they added in, like, Grape Ape?
There's a lot of things they could add in this.
That would be hilarious. Like, this big giant character, that would be awesome.
All right, moving on. Let's talk about.
I'm a fan of the obscure.
Moving on, let's talk about maybe this game will get nominated at next year's The Game Awards. I doubt it, but it might. But we know the nominees for this year's The Game Awards. This kind of snuck up on us, but it is around that time of year, usually Thanksgiving
week. Weeks away.
Yeah, it all moves so fast. Like, we find out the nominees this week, and then the ceremony is just in a couple weeks, which it sounds like, by the way, I can't go because they didn't open the tickets to the public this year. So that's kind of a bummer. But honestly, after reading the games that got nominated, there's a very obvious oversight in here, in my humble opinion. However, the nominees for Game of the Year are Deathloop. Doesn't surprise me. A lot of people talking about kind of the story. I haven't played it yet, but a lot of people talking about the story in that game and how it's kind of pretty innovative, what it does with some of the time stuff and making that a mechanic. It Takes Two is nominated. Metroid Dread is nominated. So there's your Nintendo pick in the pack. There's always a Nintendo one in the back. Psychonauts 2. Got a nomination as well, so that is the representative from the Xbox area. Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, also nominated for Game of the Year. And Resident Evil Village, nominated for Game of the Year as well. So those are your nominees for Game of the Year. Nowhere to be seen, the game that has been getting tens, tens, tens across the board from all the critics, Forza Horizon 5. All right, I guess somebody felt...
Are the Game Awards more like fiscal year?
No, it is
calendar year.
It is allowed to be included if it was released before, like, November. Basically all the games released before Black Friday are eligible, in a nutshell. So yes, even though it was just a moment ago, it's kind of like the Oscar movies. As long as it plays in a theater in LA and a theater in New York before the end of the year, it's eligible. So Forza should have been eligible, but I understand that some folks might find it a little bit reductive from Part 4 because, you know, it's more of the same, even if it is really, really good what it is doing. I still think at some point you have to acknowledge what the series is doing. I'm sort of reminded of the Oscars when they finally recognized Return of the King as Best Picture of the Year because the trilogy was over at that point. So I worry the Horizon series is not going to get its due until Playground Games comes out and says this is the last one, which I don't want to ever see that happen, to be quite honest. So anyway, that's my piece on that. I said what I said. This is an interesting layout of games. And what's interesting about it, it's kind of hard for me to say X is the front runner. I've heard a lot of buzz about all of these games in one way or another. I'm not sure there is a front runner. I would guess Metroid Dread, but that might be a little bit of personal kind of coming into it. Deathloop, I've also heard a lot of stuff about. So yeah, let's see. Now, some folks in chat mentioning Mike Deft says Forza Horizon 5 is nominated for other awards, and Bobby Blackwell says Forza Horizon 5 is nominated in three other categories. Yes, we love nominations in the technical categories for a pity award. Happens the same thing happens with the movie awards, right? You get this great movie, and then it's like, oh, it got nominated for costume design. How cute! Not that costume design isn't important.
Award.
I'm just saying. Let's see. Mike Deft says, I think Returnal is missing from that game of the year list. Not the first person I've heard say that, that's for sure. I've seen a lot of that on social media, is that people think because of the bugs that existed in Returnal at the very beginning, it's kind of getting the shaft here, which, you know, is a problem all in itself. So that's somewhat interesting. Let me see. There's a lot of categories, you guys. I don't want to read them all. But let me see if there's another category I want to do here. I want to talk about performance. Where is it? There's voice performance. Hold on. I'm looking for it, guys. Sorry. I know this is terrible radio. There it is. Interesting. I don't know if it ever was split into actor and actress type of thing. But just a note, now it is just best performance. I know I've seen another award show in gaming that was split, so I just think that's interesting. The nominees in that category. Erica Mori, nominated as Alex in Life is Strange True Colors. Giancarlo Esposito, nominated for Anton Castillo in Far Cry 6. Jason Kelly, nominated as Colt Vaughn in Deathloop. Maggie Robertson, nominated as Lady Dimitrescu for Resident Evil Village. And Ozioma, I hope I said that right, Akaga as Juliana Blake in Deathloop as well. There is a very clear frontrunner there, in my opinion. But then again, I haven't played Deathloop, so maybe I'm. But in my opinion, that Lady Dimitrescu kind of like owned that game. But she wasn't in it very long. Spoiler alert. So I don't know.
Resident Evil and not Deathloop?
No. Yes. Lady Dimitrescu was in Resident Evil, but not for very long. Still,
because I thought you were saying it in the context of Deathloop, and I'm like, what?
Oh, no. Sorry. All right. So yeah, hold on. I'm looking to see if there's any comments there. Mike Deft does say Deathloop has really good voice acting. Yeah, there you go. Garth the Wolf in chat says doing Hades Extreme while listening to the show. LMAO, Loot Dragon Time. Hey, that's last year's game of the year right there. Or at least it was nominated. It didn't actually win, but I know it got nominated. Yeah, Mike Deft says Lady Dimitrescu is the people's vote. Yeah, Tiger Claw says Giancarlo Esposito is a good actor. He could win it. It's a good group, if nothing else. So there is that. So, yeah, I think that's all I'll read. If you want to see more of the nominees, you can head on over to the Game Award websites. Of course, you can vote. But if you read the fine print, audience voting is only 10% of the vote. That way you guys can't fuck it up. The critics and the board still have 90% of the say. I haven't checked the fine print this year to see if maybe those numbers shifted, so disclaimer, but I know in previous years the people's vote is only 10% of the vote. So just an interesting little footnote you may have missed. All right, we have a few more stories for you guys. Let's go to Dark Soccer with our next story.
So, people like BTS. And BTS has been doing several collaborations across the board with other things. So they're actually going to be working with doing a collaboration with Among Us. They're going to have the BT21 characters that were created by Line Friends. to do all animated versions of the members of BTS for Among Us. So there you go. I don't listen to BTS. A lot of people do. I've listened to a few things. But I mean, I think it's kind of cool that there's this big international thing going on that they've hit it so big. They're involved in games that a lot of people around the world are going to be playing. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
I'll be interested to see. It'll be a nice kick in the pants for Among Us, too. I know there's still people playing it, but I do kind of feel like that game sort of peaked, at least as far as like the Twitch interactivity and stuff, a while ago. Yes, I know people are still playing it, but not as many as were. But this could be the nice little like kick in the pants that game could kind of use to, you know, get people to play it again. So we'll see.
I think it's more that people outside of the U.S. are playing it more.
Ooh, good point. Fair point.
You're not the only country in the world.
That is true. Jason in chat, our voiceover dude, saying Among Us collab, not Fortnite. Bless. Hey, you know what, though? I got to say, remember, the Ariana Grande Fortnite collab was actually pretty cool. Like, and that taking that from somebody who does not play Fortnite, but kind of wanted to for that. Garth the Wolf in chat says BTS came out with the best sauces McDonald's has had for their nuggies in years. Honestly, truth. Like, I know BTS from the McDonald's meal, and those sauces were really good. So...
What sauces do they have? I'm unfamiliar with her.
I think they exist in other, again, like Darksoccer kind of pointed out,
other regions,
other parts of the world, and I think they just made them for the U.S. for a short time. I want to say there was a spicy chili sauce and some type of mustard sauce. Garth the Wolf, correct me if I'm wrong. It was a, like a spicy mustard as well. Maybe it was a chili sauce and a spicy mustard, but they were really good. Oh, thank you. Garth the Wolf says Cajun and sweet chili were the two sauces.
Okay.
They were good. Who had the mustard? Somebody, another artist had the mustard then. Was that Saweetie? I don't know. All right. Anyway, moving on. Let's get to Loki's story.
So this is out of like left field here, but apparently there was a video put up, or a brand new site, I should say, called Beyond the Groovy that's been put up by Interplay Entertainment, and it is kind of showing off Earthworm Jim as an animated series. I don't know if these are like animation tests or what, but apparently there's an animated series for Earthworm Jim coming out.
Wasn't there already?
Like there was a cartoon in the past. This is gonna be like a computer animated thing. It looks all right. I mean,
I like
the old cartoon, so sure, why not? Beats what Earthworm Jim 4 looks like.
It's an interesting development as far as in television having that property right now. I don't put too much stock in that, but it's just interesting. That's it. Like, interesting can go a lot of ways. I just think it's interesting.
Mm.
Yeah. So, all right. Last.
Like, no one asked for this, but sure. Why not?
Sure. Last but not least, I thought this was a very interesting story with the former VP of marketing for Nintendo of America. You know, the GameCube is 20 years old now. It originally came out in 2001 for the holidays, and here we are, holidays 2021. VGC had an interview with Perrin Kaplan, who you might, you know, remember from some of the older E3s, who at the time was VP of marketing at Nintendo America. And in the interview, Perrin Kaplan mentioned that the PR marketing teams at Nintendo of America were not happy with the purple color choice for the GameCube, and that these teams informed Nintendo Japan of this. But Nintendo Japan has the final say, and so that was it. Nintendo America was told, nope, this is the direction we're going in. Nintendo of America wanted to do black and silver at launch, which is funny because those colors came later, if I'm not mistaken. Because I had a silver one. Thanks to Loki. Loki bought me a GameCube. Wasn't it a silver one? I think it was. So
it was silver.
I liked purple.
Yeah, I liked
the color
purple
we
too.
Never got over here was spice.
Yeah, yeah. But what's interesting, now here's the... Nintendo of America thought the purple GameCube looked too feminine. And they were nervous that it would be slated at E3 based on the color. And here's the quote from Perrin Kaplan. Who, if I'm not mistaken, is... Oh, wasn't Perrin Kaplan a woman? Or is a woman? I think so. Mm-hmm. From what I remember. We actually suggested that the purple was not the best to start with, and Japan said, no, we're going to use that. Then we pushed for black and silver because I think in the U.S. nobody had ever really done the purple color before. It wasn't that you couldn't bring out hardware that was a different color. It was just a very female-looking color. It just didn't feel masculine, I think. I remember us being very nervous at E3 that we were going to get bad press of purple based on the color. Beth Lewian, who is the former director of corporate communications, says, this predates Apple. Picking your color these days is like making a statement. But back then, all the game systems were black. Even white hadn't really been done widely. Nintendo was never a technology story, but we were always combating what our competitors at Sony and Microsoft were doing from a PR perspective, and having this purple box didn't quite help there. Beth? Wasn't the Super Nintendo a white and purple console?
Gray and purple.
Am I recalling that incorrectly? Wasn't the Nintendo Entertainment System a gray? All right.
It was just two different shades of gray overseas.
Yeah. I think.
And I think that this might be, I hate to say it, but a coded phrase.
Hmm.
And I'm going to just call it out.
Sure.
I mean, I kind of think that there is a big stink of maybe some homophobia behind this comment of hers.
Interesting.
Because, I mean, there was like, what was it that I was reading? That things that are purple are coded to be more toward the LGBT community in marketing.
I've heard that too. Yeah.
And so... I mean, so basically, like, does this make our system look gay?
You know,
that's how.
I'm not going to fault Perrin for the compliment or for the comment because she's speaking of an industry 20 years ago and that whole thing. So I'm not. My target isn't on her for that comment, but it is just fascinating. And to look in retrospect, did anyone fucking care that it was purple? Actually, I kind of liked that original color. I loved my silver GameCube, don't get me wrong, but the purple was fine.
Mine's purple.
It's a weird comment, that second comment that talks about all the other game consoles being black and white. That Atari had a very definitive kind of wood color to it. It wasn't really totally
black.
That
was also the 70s, Rob.
I know, but...
Everything was wood paneled in the 70s.
Game systems are all sorts of colors. It's weird. Tiger Claw chat
says...
Well,
the Channel F was, what, orange and yellow?
Yeah.
That was also the 70s, though.
Tiger Claw chat says, what's wrong with purple? VOG Network is purple. Nothing! Nothing's wrong with purple! I love purple!
But
Twitch is purple everywhere! Like,
but
again...
we're also talking about a different market.
Yes, and Perrin is talking about an industry 20 years ago.
Too. And speech is very coded for meaning one thing and saying it a different way as so not to cause offense.
Yeah. I get it.
But it's not the first time I've heard that terminology used in a homophobic light.
You're right. She might be covering up for something way worse. And I understand that. She got to choose her words carefully there because, you know, if she potentially, allegedly said what we are drawing conclusions to, admittedly, we don't know. We weren't in the room.
We don't know.
But... you know, that obviously, if she'd said that very frankly, that would have caused a much bigger stink, and she probably wouldn't be giving any more interviews, so.
Which, and probably, though, in the day, it would be said that way, because...
Yeah. I get
people today are a lot more conscious of it.
I get it. Tiger Claw, again, with an excellent point. This is the last purple thing I'm going to read, guys. Tiger Claw in chat says, Mace Windu's lightsaber was purple from the Star Wars prequels. That, if I remember my
trivia
correctly...
That was Samuel's pick.
It was Samuel L. Jackson's pick. He said he would only play the part if he could have a purple lightsaber. And they gave it to him. So...
because he's Sammy fucking L.
Because Samuel L. Jackson's a fucking badass. We all know that. So he tells you to do something, you better listen. He needed to be in the room when they were choosing the color purple for the GameCube. He would have shut that down.
Been like, bitch.
Exactly. All right.
Do you recall me giving you a choice of what color you could pick? I don't think so.
It's all purple. Right.
It's motherfucking purple.
Let's go to the listener roundtable. We invite your emails every week. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. I think I only saw a spam email in there, but I'll check with Dark Soccer and see if we got anything.
There were nothing but several spam emails. Apparently, I'm the only one that cleans out spam emails.
Apparently, they found our spam. No, I get everything forwards to my personal email, so I see it all there. So, yeah.
But
all right.
It wasn't, nothing was deleted, but it was fine.
I will invite calls if anyone wants to call in. Head on over to our Discord.
I'm not watching Drag Race.
VogNetwork.com/Discord. Oh yeah, we usually do Drag Race talk when there's no emails, but
I can't watch any Drag Race now, so whatever.
And there none of it's on, right? I mean, there's international versions, but who's
well, that's
time
what
to
I'm saying. I can't
those?
Watch. Yeah. I don't have any of the Paramount shit.
Okay, let's go to questions in chat, which we invite those as well. No One Special 77 has a good food-related question to start us off. I guess a little mini Orange Lounge foodio. Do you associate eating a specific food with gaming? If so, what food? For me, I associate pizza and cola with gaming on account that I went to Showbiz Pizza Place in the early 80s, and that was an early experience with gaming for me. Does anyone associate food with gaming?
Not. Yes.
Is there okay.
Cheese sticks and DDR?
That's true. Where this show was born, right? Those good ass
right.
mozzarella cheese sticks that the cafe in front of Golfland sold. Hell yeah.
Yeah!
All right, I'm with you there. This question is a little weird for me now after everything I talked about last week, but I'm not sure I have. I'm not sure I have like a Pavlov response to some sort of food and gaming like that. I mean, I do remember, like you, No One Special, I do remember that my, like, an early gaming experience, like, my first arcade memory I very clearly remember was playing Crystal Castles, standing on a booster, because kids had to use the boosters because we were short, and it was at a Chuck E. Cheese pizza. So I associate like Crystal Castles with Chuck E. Cheese, but like, why would I ever in my life crave Chuck E. Cheese pizza?
Because the Chuck E. Cheese pizza back in the 80s was really good.
Okay.
The
okay.
Chuck E. Cheese pizza of now,
I'll
not so much. And also, like,
my
back
body
then,
knows better.
I remember then, like, they kept arcades like pretty dark because it's arcade games. You don't want the glare on the screen. So good pizza, dark arcades. Yes, that's the way it is. Now it's just like ticket spitters and bad pizza.
I have one.
Okay, yes, and then I have one that I know Dark Soccer will agree with, but you first.
Pop Rocks.
Oh, how's that associate with games for you?
Because when I worked in an arcade, remember I worked at one for a while, I would save up all the little single tickets that people would leave in the machines, and I would redeem them for Pop Rocks during my shift.
Oh.
And then I would bounce around like a maniac my entire shift and then go home and crash hardcore. Like, I mean, the machines actually gave me migraines, which was pretty unfortunate given that I, you know, like being saying that I could work at an arcade. But it was Pop Rocks. And I mean, and Pop Rocks and Jolt Cola and Pixie Sticks also got me through my first exam week of college. The week I didn't sleep. For a week.
Going to chat, we have a few other comments on this. Garth the Wolf says, I associate Halo 3 with Cheez-Its because me and a friend ate them while playing together, LOL. E3VL says, yeah, pizza back in the day was good, especially Pizza Hut before they changed the recipe. Okay, I have one more.
Pizza Hut is so much better now.
I have a food association. Dark Soccer, I know you're going to... It's the drink Propel. And the DDR days.
that
is, like, if you listen to the early episodes of OLR, not that I would encourage people to do that, but I know some of you do it anyway. There were seriously like Propel worship episodes of that show.
Yeah.
We would drink it while doing the
now
show.
Now I
too.
Can't stand that shit.
I don't mind it, but
it's the texture of it.
I haven't checked to see if it jives with what I currently am facing, so probably not, to be honest.
Well, actually, Propel is sugar-free.
Oh, that's good. Okay. Then I probably can have it.
But
I don't hate it.
The other thing for me is Brookfield's mini loaves.
Yeah, yeah.
And I actually blame Jessica for that.
It's good stuff.
And now I cannot go to Brookfield's without being pissed off that not all of them will have mini loaves available.
Oh, they don't? To go with my
Avgolemono that I've become addicted to.
Yes. They had great chicken tortilla soup, too.
Let's go to Brookfield.
I'm challenged to eat some of the things I used to enjoy there. I guess I could always have a salad. So
there's other stuff you can have meat.
Also, in a couple months, we can reevaluate some things and hopefully get to bring some things back. We'll see. I did see a call sneak into the green room, so I want to take it because this is, of course, a old OLR favorite to invite back on the show here. So let's bring him into the room and say, hello, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
This is YYR.
Hey, YYR.
Tired. YYR. Huh?
Yes, I caught the tail end of your stream. And
you
I
did.
Think I was on mobile, so I wasn't really chatting. But your friend that you were playing with was playing Max 300 on standard and used some type of modifier that added extra notes in the middle of runs. And
oh,
I was like, why on earth would you do
terrible.
That to yourself?
Well, we were using all kinds of crazy mods the entire time. I would definitely encourage folks to check out the VOD. I'll link to it in the Discord. Some of the things we did included, you know, hidden plus sudden at the same time, which Stepmania does. DDR doesn't. Basically, you get to see the arrows for just like a very short time in the middle. What else? I did a low scoring set where I intentionally got the lowest possible passing score. I think I got about a 32% on expert.
Congrats, I think.
I played completely silent one song. I played the expert chart with no audio. I played the expert chart with different audio. And then just all kinds of other crazy, silly things to try to, you know, break up the monotony a little bit.
Raised some good money for charity, so congratulations. And I apologize for the terrible camera angle in Discord. I'm doing my best here. Now we actually brought, I don't know if you were listening at the beginning of the show, but right at the beginning of the show, I did talk about your little announcement that you made at the end.
I appreciate that
you're adding the dance mode into super multitasking, but I couldn't remember all of the details about the other stuff too. Can you elaborate on what else you're working with super multitasking?
Well, I mean, I have to admit, I didn't do much apart from, you know, I didn't announce much apart from the workout mode.
Okay.
I'm working on the expansion. Oh, I see you allocated a spot for me. I guess I might as well do this. sure.
Oh,
access
camera
the camera.
On. Cool.
Sub.
Hi. Good to see you.
Thanks. So, what I announced today, I'm working on the new mini games for the expansion that's still coming sometime next year. I don't want to commit to a certain time of the year, several of them are done now. But the only one I have announced to date is this dance game. It plays on one of the thumbsticks. It's very simple. It only lasts for about 12 seconds like all the others, and you just, you know, push in the proper direction when the arrow comes up. But I really feel like I captured the feel of DDR pretty well. And it plays nicely, and I'm really excited about it. But I knew from the very beginning that I, you know, from the moment I decided to put this mini game in there, I knew from the very beginning that I wanted to actually put a dance pad mode in the game. Because I'm ridiculous. That's why. And it actually plays really well, except for the fact that I need to work on the jump processing. Because DDR and Stepmania, I don't know if you noticed this, but if your feet don't go down at the exact same frame or moment when you're jumping, the game has some leniency on that.
Hmm.
Right now, mine doesn't have that. So it will, but at the moment, you have to hit the jump. Both feet have to go down at the exact same moment, otherwise you miss. I actually threw most of it together, like the actual full length song mode. I actually threw most of it together yesterday. So, cause in, In the regular super multitasking dance minigame, there are no jumps. Hmm. Because how are you going to do a left-right jump with an analog stick?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Makes sense. It's going to be difficult enough, that's for sure.
So
I watched you play that mode in the with the controller and the, because you tweeted OLR and I retweeted it so people could see it. And you had that, like, you were playing the dance in the middle on the dance pad using a controller, and I just thought, I was like, way to make a zany, stress filled game even more stressful. But hey, you can burn calories doing it, so awesome.
If it makes you feel any better, you know, you don't have to worry about the middle of the controller, the ABXY. It's just the stuff around it. So, just.
I feel much better. Thank you.
But actually, that's not the only thing I wanted to talk about. Okay. I want to talk about a pretty awesome experience I had this week gaming on my Xbox when I actually made the few minutes to do that I got. Forza Horizon 5, you know how great this game is.
Yep.
But the one disappointing thing about it in my eyes, the biggest one, was the fact that, you know, I'm still rocking my Xbox One X on my big TV. And when it comes to driving games, I'm a frame rate snob. It has to be 60 frames per second or higher.
Yeah.
And I will not settle for less. In fact, that's why I bought my Xbox One X initially. It was to play Forza Horizon 4 at 60 FPS because I knew the performance mode was there. And it was to play Ori in 4K. So, and I still haven't even made the time to get back to get to the ladder yet. Probably partially because I spent 500 hours playing Forza Horizon 4 on it. So, and I got my money's worth.
And to be clear, there is a 60 frame mode in Forza, but I believe it's only on Series X and maybe S, but not the console.
It's on S.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, there is absolutely no performance mode in Forza Horizon 5 if you're running it on an Xbox One X. But
okay,
I actually played Forza Horizon 5 on my Xbox One X at 60 frames per second this week.
Oh.
And using
I was going to say, this sounds a lot
cloud
more stealthy
gaming.
Oh, clever.
Because you have to uninstall it from the hard drive. It won't offer you cloud gaming if the game is locally installed.
Uh-huh.
But if you then launch it, you're going to be playing it on an Xbox Series X somewhere in a data center.
Right.
And you just go to the menu from the initial screen and you turn on performance mode and it restarts and then you get the 60 FPS.
That's a clever
on a 1X.
Now, did the artifacting or any of that stuff bother you, or were you very pleased with the experience of gaming in the cloud?
There was definitely some artifacting. I can't hide that. However, if you've been watching digital cable, YouTube videos, you know, for any length of time, you're probably already somewhat used to it. So I actually felt like, you know, the colors weren't as good. They weren't as vibrant. And yeah, the artifacting was there. But you know what? I enjoyed it more than I would have a 30 FPS mode. So for me, and here's the thing. I've used xCloud on my phone before. And on my computer as well. And there was always enough lag on it that I felt like it wasn't really playable, at least if you're moving at 200 miles per hour, not, you know, because pretty much any lag is unacceptable. But on my console, mind you, it's directly wired to my router, but on my console, it played really, really well. I did not notice the lag.
Yeah,
and
the cloud gaming is getting to be more and more impressive technology, and that's really any piece of the cloud gaming I've used, whether it be Stadia, which I know Darksoccer is very familiar with, or the xCloud, which I think has also been a great experience, or the NVIDIA thing that's also in the cloud as well. You know, have all been pretty good, and it's interesting because I really do think there is a good chunk of gaming that's kind of headed this direction. Now, granted, internet isn't everywhere yet, but you know, 10 years from now, we're going to be talking about over-the-air 5G is what we have in our house, and it's faster than cable. And it's going to be very interesting to see what that does for cloud gaming.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, my whole opinion of cloud gaming changed just in this 1 week, just with that one experience, because that basically told me that this is a viable thing, that, you know, this could be the future. It's crazy. I didn't think I would think this way, but and this is after I bought an Xbox Series S just so I could play the game at 60 FPS.
Oh my gosh.
But it's sitting at my computer desk over there, you know, and I guess I like playing on my TV for some reason.
I love that story, though. You should tweet that to Microsoft. I bet they'll be very happy with it. So, interesting.
And you know what? It's funny because, you know, if you play cloud gaming, a lot of the time it pops up right after, oh, what did you think of this? We want your feedback.
Oh,
and when
right.
I tell them, yes, it was good, they ask, okay, what did you like about it? My use case is not one of the options.
Oh, you don't get a box to fill in to put your own thing?
No. They ask you to pick one of several choices. It's like, I like the fact that I could play anywhere. I like how it starts immediately. I like how I don't have to install anything. You know,
I like
you
that
get
it's
a
giving me access
options,
to Series X exclusive features.
I really do like that. And it's pretty sweet that and you know what, I bet when, you know, word spreads about how well this runs, I think the resale value of some of these old VCR Xbox Ones might go up a little bit, because you know, maybe they're not worthless after all.
Yeah.
Although I must say, when I got my Series S, I started looking at eBay to see what the resale value of an Xbox One S is. I don't know what the heck is going on with the console market right now, because people are just bonkers. They're willing to pay ridiculous amounts of money for Xbox Ones and base PS4s right now. I guess it's because they can't get anything else. But yeah, $200 to $300 range for the previous gen consoles, $200 to $300 range was commonplace.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's
bad.
Probably the chip shortage, right? That. Wow. Well, what we
Could
are,
be.
I love that story. And I love what you did for your birthday stream. And I love that we all get to benefit with more, bigger, better super multitasking in the coming months. So if you guys haven't checked it out on Steam already, what the hell are you waiting for? Get on it. Super multitasking available in the storefront. I don't know how else to say it. It's like WarioWare, but more.
More at once.
More at once. YYR, anything else to share with the audience tonight before I let you go?
I think I'm tired.
All right. All right. Go to bed. All right. Have a good night. Thanks for calling. Yeah, you're very tired from a lot of dancing. Get some rest in. All right. Take care, buddy. It's good to hear from you.
Great week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes. Great to hear from our pal YYR here on the program. All right. Let me see if we had any other... No, we didn't have any other calls. Let me check in with Loki to see if there's any last minute stories.
No,
I thought
not.
Yeah, it's gonna start to get more to that slower time of year. I don't know if we'll have a lot to cover next week. We are still going to be here Sunday night. I don't know if we'll have a lot to cover. I really want to invite your questions and discussion topics for us. The mailbag address is participate@orangeloungeradio.com is the place where you can send us an email. Bobby Blackwolf points out the arcade one up Tron. Yes, that's true. Should I talk about this? I don't know. I'm getting a little iffy on if I want to still do London next year. I really, 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 really want to go to that concert. The thing that's obviously with the recent news that I talked about last week on the show, starting to worry if that might kind of put a damper on things. But what's really putting a damper on things is that COVID is coming back again. And now you look into all the travel restrictions and you want to go over there. You still have to get tested on this. And this is even if you're vaccinated, you still have to get tested on the second day that you're there. So it's like you're having to spend money to do that and time to do that. So I'm starting to wonder if I just shouldn't axe that trip and get myself a Tron arcade one up and some of the other things, but We'll see.
Oh.
To be determined on that.
I got an arcade 1-Up actually just last week.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about this because I saw the tweet. What's
I
what's
got
going
the
on?
Tabletop Dig Dug.
Oh, I didn't know it was tabletop. I thought it was the standy one. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I got the tabletop Dig Dug to go with our tabletop Galaga.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a Dig Dug branded one. I imagine it's the same like Pac-Man, Ms. Pac-Man, like all the Namco stuff in it. But that's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's just Dig Dug and Dig Dug 2.
Oh.
These are a little bit more limited. They're
not like cocktail tabletop. I know what you're talking about. I wanted that Dig Dug one. I couldn't find it anywhere. Oh, I wanted it.
They had exactly one left at a Ross Dress for Less.
Wow.
If I find another.
Yeah, let me know.
I'll have to check it for you.
I'll have to check those kind of stores in the area to see.
Along with the other stuff that I've bought for you that I haven't given you.
I still
like
have a thing for
Apple
you
Watch
from
band.
LA.
That's right.
Thing for you from LA, yeah.
So. I've got things in the pipeline.
All right. Well, if there's no other stories, then I think we'll go ahead and wrap it all up for tonight. Hey, I want to thank you guys for tuning into Orange Launch Radio and listening to our show. Whether you were here with us live or listening on the podcast feed, thank you for being here. Tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we need the voices to be here. So, yes, please consider following us on Twitch, twitch.tv/VOG Network, VOG Network. A nice 5-star review on a place like iTunes or Spotify, wherever it is you found this show. Those go an awful long way as well. The merch shop is currently closed for maintenance, but we'll be bringing that back soon. Thanks to everyone who's gone out of their way and supported us with that in the past. And we look forward to maybe this will be an opportunity for some new merch in the future. I think that's all I have to say in my little spiel. So we'll go around and get everybody's final thoughts and wrap on up. Dark Sakura will be keeping the party going with the after party and her Dead by Daylight. So I will go to her first with her final thought.
I should probably just play No Ed just for the sake of pissing people off tonight. I might do that.
An all No Ed stream. Love it.
An all No Ed stream. And I want to see who it's going to be the meme. I'll use No Ed. And then see if anybody gets a tree trunk up their ass over it.
No Ed, Haunted Ground. I'm trying to think of the other, like, exposed.
Well, my pig build is pretty mean as it is. Especially if I do, like, number 2 rule set and tampered timer when I don't have the VHS tape.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm pretty mean already, but... How about a doctor with no Ed or a Freddy with no Ed?
All right. Have fun being sweaty. All right, we'll see you in a little bit
sweaty,
after the show.
That removes the sweat factor altogether.
All right. Take care, Dark Sakura.
All right, bye.
All right. And we'll go to Loki for your final thought tonight.
My final thought is I'm going to be very busy this week getting the last few episodes put together for my series, and I can't wait to start the new stuff.
My final thought, I didn't stream as much as last week because I've really been trying to make room for Alan to stream, and I've been really into this Ingress event that's going on right now and trying to get more exercise, and I hit some really good exercise goals. I did yesterday and today 10,000 steps. That's 5 miles. So that's nothing, obviously with everything I've been talking about last week, but, some of the signs of me doing good things is showing up already, which is very encouraging because it's only been a couple weeks. So just y'all keep your fingers and your toes crossed. I can stay on this route because I would love to, not that I'm going to kid myself that this is going to go away completely, but I'd love to just be in a capacity with a little more flexibility. So we'll see. Fingers and toes crossed. SJ100 Matt says, I didn't participate in community today, was traveling. I only got I walked 5 miles and got 5 shiny Shinxes, but that's plenty. I don't need 40. I didn't check in with Shane to see how many he got. I'll have to maybe check in for after the credits. All right. That is going to do it, though, for another week of Orange Lounge Radio. Thanks again. We'll see you in 7 days. For those of you in the States, have a great Thanksgiving. For everybody around the world, we are thankful for you tuning in and supporting our show each and every week. Or even if this is the first week, I'm thankful you got to the end of the show because we had some angries earlier. So I appreciate you guys sticking with it. Happy gaming. Enjoy any of the new games you picked up this week. We'll be back to do it again in 7 days. Have a great night, everybody. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.